Go. Tracy is a factory-trained Volvo service advisor. Mike is a factory-trained and certified Volvo technician with over 17 years of experience servicing and repairing Volvos. Join the many Monterey Bay Volvo owners who only trust Hans Auto Repair to service their Volvos. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside. Call Hans at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Oil prices closed at a new record, $71.35 a barrel today, up 95 cents. Prices for weeks now bring gas pains at the pump.
I think gas prices are really high. $30 to fill up my small car. Ridiculous.
We're only in spring right now. It's only the middle of April, and we're already seeing very high prices at the pump. We're seeing record high prices for oil. That's only going to go higher this summer during the peak driving season. There's more demand for gasoline over the summer. A lot of Americans are taking their trips.
That's CBS News reporter Claire Lacob. On Wall Street, the Dow jumped 195 points today to close at nearly 11,269. Now, at Johnson & Illington Advisors, CEO Hugh Johnson says the market enjoyed reading the notes from the Fed's most recent meeting.
The Federal Reserve said pretty unambiguously that they'd reached near the end of that period of raising short-term interest rates.
NASDAQ gained about 45 points. An old prosecution line goes, we can indict a ham sandwich because grand juries only hear one side of the story and bringing charges. Defense attorneys are reminding us of the innocent until proven guilty rule since the arrests of two Duke University lacrosse team members on rape charges.
Both 20-year-old Duke lacrosse players are free on bond. Colin Finnerty and Reed Seligman are to appear in court here in Durham on May 15th. Seligman waived his right to a first court appearance. Finnerty was in court for less than 5 minutes. He was very nervous. Anxiety was written across his face.
CBS News correspondent Jim Crisula in Durham. In fact, defense attorney Bill Thomas says prosecutors are way off base. He claims neither Seligman nor Finnerty had any contact with the woman that night. Colin Finnerty is from Garden City, New York. And Vincent DePasquale, who plays lacrosse at Chaminade Catholic High, says he knows Finnerty. Doesn't buy the charges.
Colin was a nice kid. I can't picture him doing something like that, so it's a surprise to all of us.
Critics, some of them notable, say Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld ought to resign. Rumsfeld took his answer public again today.
In the face of all that stinging criticism from retired generals, did Rumsfeld ever even consider offering his resignation to the president?
The president knows, as I know, that there are no indispensable men. The graveyards of the world are filled with indispensable people, quote unquote. No, he knows that I serve at his pleasure, and that's that.
Six former generals accused Rumsfeld of mishandling the Iraq War and ignoring the advice of commanders on the ground. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, The Pentagon.
The Clinch County Sheriff down in South Georgia had no right to force inmates in his jail to pay $18 a day rent while awaiting trial. The federal court settlement acknowledges not even judges can impose fines not specifically authorized by state law. And under current law in Georgia, jail rent would amount to an illegal fine. This is CBS News.
You're now seeing live pictures of a Luna Madre.
And here they are all the way from Liverpool.
There are thousands marching on Washington as...
A generation as unique as this needs a new generation of personal financial planning. We are the personal advisors of Ameriprise Financial, formerly American Express Financial Advisors. To set up an appointment with a local financial advisor today, call 1-800-AMERIPRISE. That's 1-800-263-7477. Ameriprise Financial Services, member NASD and SIPC.
Everyone can use a little help with dating and relationships. And now, you have a great way to get it at Match.com. Because we're working with...
The one, the only, Dr. Phil!
Match.com will show you who. Dr. Phil will show you how.
The way you can make the best first impression is to be excited about who you are.
Come be a part of an online relationship revolution and see what we can do for you. Visit Match.com, the number one site for love.
A few days after columnist Jack Anderson's funeral, the FBI sent agents to his home. They wanted to examine his confidential notes. His wife refuses to cooperate, saying it's against everything Anderson stood for, every promise of secrecy he ever made.
The FBI had told them that while they were going through it, if they happened to come across anything that looked top secret or confidential, they would be duty-bound to take those papers out of the collection.
Scott Carlson reports for the Chronicle of Higher Education. It's been 100 years since the shaking ground rearranged San Francisco. This morning at 5:13, bells tolled, sirens wailed, and people found a copy of the Morning After 1906 Examiner newspaper on their doorsteps commemorating that day and the survival of the city by the bay. On a sober note, Governor Schwarzenegger noted today 90% of Bay Area families have no earthquake reaction plan. And experts say there's a 6 in 10 chance of another major quake there in the next couple of decades. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Do you know your credit score? You should, because staying on top of your credit could help save you thousands of dollars. You can now get your credit score and credit report at freecreditreport.com.
I go online and in seconds I get my credit report and credit score free.
I can even print it right off my computer.
Staying on top of my credit helped me save a lot of money.
Get your free credit report and score with enrollment and triple advantage at freecreditreport.com. That's freecreditreport.com.
You've got lawn weeds and crabgrass growing, well, like weeds. Until they're up against the science of Bayer Advanced All-in-One Weed Killer. All-in-One kills both lawn weeds plus crabgrass in one easy step without harming your lawn. Other leading brands take two products to finish the job. Got two types of weeds? Grab one simple solution and bring them back down to earth. Bayer Advanced All-in-One Weed Killer. Better science, better results.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show, originating from the left coast. This is a live, unscripted, unrehearsed radio talk show, and you are invited to participate. We're live on the air on KRXA 540, Monterey, Salinas, Santa Cruz. We are in vivo all the way live on KGOE 1480, Eureka, Arcata, Humboldt County. And we're on the air, brand new in Phoenix, Arizona, on KPHX 1480. Ready, steady, go. If you'd like more information about me and the program, go to peterbcollins.com. That's the website where there's even a picture of me. Links to our archives and the live stream. All that kind of stuff. peterbcollins.com. You can drop me an email there, too. Peter at peterbcollins.com. You got it? Coming up in about a half hour, we are honored by the first Democratic presidential candidate of the 2008 cycle. Now, don't worry, Hillary's not available. Former Alaska Senator Mike Gravel has come out of retirement to run for president in 2008. He's got a fabulous idea for national initiative process. We'll air it out in about half an hour. Coming up next hour, our weekly visit with the investigative reporter from truthout.org, Jason Leopold. He's broken a big one. Somebody at the State Department leaked him a memo, or maybe they just gave it to him, that shows that the State Department was painfully aware prior to the 2003 State of the Union message that the comments the president made about uranium from Niger were absolutely false. We'll talk about that timeline with Jason coming up in our second hour. Then we kick off our third hour with Melanie Sloan from Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. A couple of new investigations underway there at CREW. And lots of room for your phone calls all along the program today. Feel free to join us whenever the urge strikes you. And as long as the full First Amendment is in effect on the Central Coast, you can dial me up at 831-899-5792. And anywhere else in the U.S., you can call us toll-free at 1-888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. Joining me now is the president of the Council for the National Interest, an advocacy group based in Washington, D.C., working for peace in the Middle East, Eugene Bird. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Well, thank you very much, Peter B. Collins. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's nice to talk with you, and I saw your full-page ad on the back of the Week in Review section of Sunday's New York Times. It drew my attention. Then I went to your website, and I was delighted to see that my friend Pete McCloskey is one of your founders and chair of the board of directors of Council for the National Interest.
Yes, he's actually chairman of CNI at the moment, but He is planning to devote full time to his run against Pombo, and so we're going to say make him emeritus very shortly.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've been in touch with Pete. He's been on our program several times, and he actually has outstripped Pombo in fundraising, at least in one category, individual contributions. He's raised more than Pombo. Of course, Pombo's raised more money overall because he has all those PACs and the polluters, the extractors, and the other folks who support him so strongly. So it's going to be a very interesting primary, and I'm pulling for Pete. I'd love to see him return to the Congress.
Yeah, it's only a month and 2 weeks away now.
Yeah.
So I hope that people will support Pete. He's a great American and a great Marine and a Silver Star winner, but even more important, he has what I call Irish guts.
Yeah.
He's willing to take chances and move the ball down the field in the direction that he thinks it ought to go rather than the direction that his party may occasionally try to make it go.
Oh, indeed. I mean, he was one of the founders of Earth Day, helped write the Endangered Species Act, tilted against Nixon on the war in Vietnam. He even provoked me to register as a Republican so I could vote for him when he ran for the United States Senate here in California.
Ah, well, let's hope quite a few people up in that district do the same thing.
Okay, sir. Tell us what you define as the mission of the Council for the National Interest.
Well, I was talking to Jimmy Carter last year out in Jerusalem. He asked the same question. So let me give you the answer I cooked up in 30 seconds. I said it's an antivirus to the Israel lobby.
Mm-hmm.
And he laughed and said, I can agree with that. All of us who are close to this situation find that fear is driving both the Israelis and the Palestinians, and it's driving the U.S. senators that have to try to come up with a policy that is helpful to the United States, but first is helpful to Israel. And finally, I think there's fear in the Jewish American community that America may turn to being like Germany in a Holocaust situation. And I think that's ridiculous, but you know, they feel that way. There is
mm-hmm.
fear.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's certainly a complex set of issues. And what I applaud in coming back to Pete McCloskey is that both when he was a member of the Congress and after he left office, he has fought for a level playing field, for a balanced American foreign policy in the Middle East. And he was targeted by AIPAC, the lobby for the Israeli interests here in the United States. And to his credit, he fought back. He represented many who had been illegally monitored or investigated by AIPAC and some of its contractors, Private Eyes and people of that sort.
Yeah.
And
ADL.
Yeah, the ADL. And AIPAC is back in the news in the past year as they were once again embarrassed by attempts by a couple of their Washington-based officials to extract information illegally to you know, get protected confidential American government information. So there is a long track record there, and you're fighting against a very powerful group of lobbies and supporters. And I guess one of the big missing links is the moderates in the Republican Party, people like Senator Percy, who was also targeted by some of the most extreme Israel-related groups in this country. And so there's very little middle ground these days. Would you agree?
I'd agree that we've never seen the situation, and I've known this situation for many decades now, that there was less real communication between Israelis and Palestinians. And now there's, you know, a threat to again make the United States refuse to have any relationship with the legally elected government of Palestine. I think that's a great mistake, and my Israeli friends tell me that it's not sustainable and that they will have to deal with Hamas. They'll have to talk with them, just as the British government eventually talked with the IRA.
Mm-hmm. Well, and another difficult headline, the lead story in today's New York Times reads, suicide bombing in Israel kills 9, semicolon, Hamas approves. And I'd like you just to respond to that headline, because it is fair to say that Hamas did not condemn this attack.
Well, you can go to Iran and have the Iranian president say that Israel should disappear from the map and so on and so forth. And the Hamas people, of course, are between a rock and a hard place in many ways. They have to govern. They're just emerging from an insurgency against the occupation. Some of that insurgency is still there, just as it is in Iraq. Before that, you can maybe call them terrorists if you want to. That probably fits some of the early efforts. But one thing you should remember is that Israel was the one who encouraged the creation of Hamas back in the 1980s, late 80s. And she did the same thing with Hezbollah as a balance wheel to the secular nationalists. Well, now they've got to deal with Islamic nationalism. And one of the newspapers while we were over there a couple months ago had an article just after the election of Hamas that said, Israel must talk with the Islamic nationalists. And I think that's the mantra for the United States, too, and it's not happening.
We're going to take a quick break and return with Eugene Bird. He's president of the Council for the National Interest. They're on the internet at cnionline.org. That's cnionline.org. And you can see a reproduction of their full-page ad that appeared this past Sunday in the New York Times. Maybe you have a question or comment? Join me. Central Coast lines available, 831-899-5792. Toll-free from anywhere else, 1-888-579-2540. 16 minutes past the hour, you're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540. If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Is what you're doing in the market working for you? Are you happy with the results? Are you making money? Sundays at 2 p.m., KRXA is proud to present a new show entitled Safe Money and Retirement Talk, hosted by R.J. Moyer of About College Funding and the Protect My Assets radio network. R.J. will present the latest information necessary to help you protect your money and ensure a comfortable retirement. Join R.J. Moyer every Sunday from 2 to 3 p.m. for Safe Money and Retirement Talk, right here on KRXA 540.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones, everything's so tasty you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a pillar affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus stew, a side of couscous and a baba ghanoush. Yeah, open at 7 every day, have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery in PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week, I've been behind the wheel of the 2006 Suzuki Aereo SX. An impressive subcompact station wagon that's well-engineered and attractively priced. With a fuel-injected 2.3-liter four-cylinder engine and a five-speed manual transmission, this little car is quick off the line and has plenty of passing power. It handles well, has a smooth suspension, and is very well equipped for the price. Power windows, mirrors and locks, plus air conditioning and cruise control, all standard. With a transferable 100,000-mile, 7-year warranty, this is a great low-price car that competes with Honda, Kia, and Hyundai. By the numbers, the 2006 Suzuki Aereo SX gets 25 mpg in the city, 31 on the highway, and stickers in California for about $15,000. Behind the wheel, I'm Peter B. Collins. And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. We're talking about the Middle East situation with Eugene Byrd, the president of the National the Council for the National Interest. As Elvis Costello croons, "What's so funny about peace, love, and understanding?" We could use a lot of that in the Middle East these days. And Eugene Byrd, let's turn for a moment to the way the United States is rattling sabers and beating the war drums toward Iran right now, and putting aside what is a serious issue and a cause for real concern. It does appear that the U.S. is conflating the security interests of Israel with the very real security interests of the United States. And simply put, I believe that Iran, if it does develop a nuclear weapon capability, would pose a threat, particularly to Israel and some of its other neighbors in the Middle East. But I don't see how it poses any direct or imminent threat to the United States of America. Is this what you would call another example of the way we have misaligned America's interests with those of Israel?
Well, we don't seem to be following in this administration the usual American policies that have been held for 50 years, that we want to influence other countries in directions that we think are rational. They may not be entirely, you know, what we want, but you have to deal with the realities of the different politicians, whether they be communist or Hamas or any of the others. It's necessary to look at Iran and say, wait a minute, do we really want to get involved in a military solution to what is a political problem? One of the things that everyone forgets now is that a year ago, Iranian foreign minister made a statement saying, if we get a nuclear-free zone in the Middle East, which would include Israel over a period of years, we would stop our any program that we might have or any thought of a program. He didn't admit, of course, to having a program, neither has Israel.
Right.
Even to this day, 44 years, and she hasn't admitted it. And she's been a great proliferator. She's helped the Indians. She's helped the South Africans, who actually built a couple of bombs, got rid of them. And I think that's the way we ought to go, is trying to say to Israel, this is not a military problem in the Middle East. It is a political problem, and we can sit down and work out the political parameters of a land for peace, whether it's with the Palestinians or the Syrians.
And when you hear administration officials describe what they think would be a shock and awe campaign that could remove the, or at least deal a serious setback to Iran's development of either nuclear power or nuclear weapons. What is your reaction?
Well, you know, they've appropriated, I don't know how many, $100 million to support the Iranian dissidents. Well, all the reporting coming out of Iran by people that are not, you know, too friendly to the regime, but who go there and talk, they find that there is a matter of pride involved. And none of the dissidents are really in a position to topple the government of Iran. Here we are trying to topple the government of Palestine. We're trying to rearrange the dominoes in Lebanon. We don't even talk to the Lebanese president. And we don't talk to the Syrian president. We removed our ambassador from there. We pick up our marbles and go home. That's not diplomacy.
Well, that's a very important point. Now, Mr. Byrd, in the newspaper ad that I referred to, the full-page ad in the New York Times, you ask people to take action and express to their elected officials opposition to two pieces of legislation, a Senate Bill 2370 and a House Resolution 4681. Could you summarize them for us briefly and tell us why you're opposed?
Well, they're very similar. What they would do is try to starve out the Hamas-led government and the people, 4 million people in Gaza and the West Bank. And, of course, the flippant attitude of some of the people around Olmert is, one of them has said, and he's a senior official, we're going to put the Palestinians on a diet. Well, you know, this is not going to work. We've been there, we've talked with a lot of the Hamas leaders, we talked with the Fatah leaders, we talked with a lot of the, we talked with Islamists in Israel, and with the Jewish PBS equivalent, Channel 2, and all of them say that eventually Israel is going to have to come to terms with Hamas, just as I indicated at the beginning.
Well, and I've been troubled by the preemptive steps that they've taken to cut off the flow of Palestinian tax money collected by Israel. This is the money of the Palestinians, and essentially it's held in trust by Israel, and they're violating that trust by unilaterally saying, well, we're going to cut that off because we don't approve of the government that you just democratically elected.
You
now,
realize that
these are mixed signals that have to be very confusing on the ground.
A lot of that money, incidentally, not a majority, but a lot of it is U.S. money that is used to buy aid goods and send into Palestine. And through UNRWA, through others, ANERA, and so on and so forth. And that money is really paid for by the U.S. taxpayer, and it's now in the pockets of Israel, and it'll remain there. They generate about $50 million a month ordinarily, but, of course, there isn't I have no idea what the next month may bring because there isn't that much money in the till for aid. The aid people here tell me that there are so many legal problems. And getting back to the new bills, there will be additional legal problems for aid to do anything, even with Abu Mazen. If they decide to go the direction of sort of sanctions against the Palestinian territories.
Mr. Byrd, just about 30 seconds remaining. Could you cite a Democratic senator or two who you think is reasonable on our policy toward Israel and Palestine?
Oh, yes. Senator Patrick Leahy, first-class man. Senator Lugar, first-class. Rockefeller, Jay. Lincoln, Chafee,
Republican.
There are several Republicans who Hagel used to be and still is. We can still communicate with him, but he's kind of running for president. When people will start running for president, they start looking over their shoulder at the.
Eugene Byrd, we're out of time, but thank you for joining us today.
Right.
The Council of the National Interest online, cnionline.org.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, Dan Brown, president of At Your Service Premier Event Planning and Transportation. We specialize at events ranging from a two-person anniversary or 200 guests attending the great AT&T or the concourse. We have a fleet of sedans, limousines, vans, mini coaches, as well as vintage cars that make any event special. Weddings, wine tours, or corporate events, give us a call, 625-5363, or check us out on the web, MontereyLimos.com. Our corporate transportation program offers competitive rates, we answer the phone 24/7, and you get a real person. And we have the best professional chauffeurs. We cover all the airports including San Francisco, San Jose, Oakland, and Monterey. We can help plan your company's VIP meeting or employee outing to the ballgame. Let us take the worry and hassle out of your transportation or event. 625-5363 or MontereyLimos.com.
The Del Monte Cafe features authentic American food carefully prepared at very reasonable prices. Hungry for delicious omelets, pancakes, sandwiches, and pasta dishes? Come visit us for breakfast and lunch at the Del Monte Cafe, located at 1642 Del Monte Boulevard in Seaside. We're open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday from 7:30 to 2 p.m. For takeout orders, call us at 394-7851. That's 394-7851, the Del Monte Cafe, 1642 Del Monte Boulevard, Seaside.
Imagine how nice it would be if your mortgage broker knew as much about the ins and outs of specialized lending programs as your trusted mechanic knows about your car. A mortgage broker willing to take the time to open the hood of your financial strengths while checking under the engine for costly money leaks. Make sure your mortgage broker has the experience, integrity, and know-how to provide you the optimal financial tune-up for your particular circumstances. Giving you staying power over the long haul and the capacity to take advantage of life's opportunities as they chance to appear.
Hi, I'm Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage in Salinas. Let me help you fine-tune your future real estate plans. The price of gasoline is through the roof, but interest rates are still near all-time lows. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Give me a call today at 757-0436. 757-0436. I'm Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage and looking forward to working with you.
All you guys on the left, you demonize this president.
In Gitmo, they're not even garden variety POWs. They're the worst of the worst. They don't even receive the protection of the Geneva Conventions.
Man, I really believe that pagans and the abortionists and the feminists and the gays and the lesbians who are actively trying to make that an alternative lifestyle, the ACLU, People for America, all of that who tried to secularize America, I point the thing in their face that you help this happen.
I totally concur. And the problem is we have adopted that agenda at the highest levels of our government.
I believe Saddam Hussein is a threat to the American people. I've got a good evidence to believe that.
Undeclared chemical warheads in Iraq.
The declaration that he made is proof positive.
Saddam Hussein possesses some of the world's deadliest weapons.
Saddam Hussein has biological weapons and the capability to rapidly produce more, many more.
The world is increasingly seeing this from the United States' point of view.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming.
He's not disarming.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make the Monterey Bay Area such a delicious slice of our tasty planet. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm proud to say that we're about to present our first interview of a candidate for President of the United States in 2008. Join me as we contemplate regime change in Washington, D.C.
We got a president so bad, gotta be the worst we ever had. Got the job 'cause of his dad, now we're all in danger. Come around, up to no good. Broke the old treaties 'cause he could. Struts all around like a hood. Got us in a world of trouble.
Oh yeah.
Put him in a straitjacket, there's no doubt. Let the psychiatrist figure him out. Listen while the demonstrators cheer and shout. We'll all feel better in the morning.
Yesterday in the nation's capital, former Alaska Senator Mike Gravel announced that he is running for President of the United States in 2008. He served two terms as a Democrat from Alaska and retired about 1981. He joins us now on the phone from suburban Washington. Senator, thanks for joining us.
Peter, thank you for having me. And I got to tell you, that music, I want that guy to write me my campaign song. I thought it was great.
Well, he's over in Baltimore, not too far from you.
You're
and
kidding.
His name is Yikes McGee.
Yikes McGee.
Yeah, and that surfaced in the 2004 presidential race. And I'll tell you what, I'll track him down. I've got him in my database somewhere, and I'll plug you two guys together.
Dynamite. That's my campaign. He'll write it. Oh, wonderful. Yikes
yeah.
McGee.
Now, I understand that you took public transit yesterday to the news conference where you announced your candidacy.
Yes, we did. We're a one-car family because we live near the subway, and so my wife, so we trade off. She does some consulting, and so she needs the car some days. Most of the appointments that I go to in Washington, D.C., I can go by subway, and as luck would have it, I was on a public works committee when we approved that subway system 30 years ago.
Oh, yeah? And are there any stops named for you?
No, not at all. In fact, they were going to try and name a federal building for me in Alaska, but Ted Stevens scotched that.
Well, let's just talk a moment about the legacy in Alaska, because since you left office, we've had Ted Stevens and the Murkowski mob.
That's right, and Don Young.
Right. Congressman.
And so they've just risen in seniority. You know, Ted is the oldest serving Republican. And keep in mind now, I knew Ted before either one of us were elected, mm-hmm. and he was the majority leader in the state legislature. No, the minority leader in the state legislature when I was Speaker of the House.
Oh, really?
So, no, we go way back. Mm-hmm. And of course, after we both, I got elected to the Senate. He got appointed by Wally Hickel when the Democrat, Bob Bartlett, died. So they took over that seat, which mm-hmm. was a Democratic seat. And he sort of always resented it that I got there the proper way, and he got appointed. No fault with that.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he was up for election, I didn't bother him. But when I got up for election, he was very partisan. I was very surprised. And so, as a result of that, because he was so partisan, I just and I liked the guy way back when.
Yeah.
And I don't dislike him now, but I think he's just horrible, horrible as a legislator, because he epitomizes this whole concept of a politician running for office. Vote for me, and I'm going to bring home the bacon, which
yeah.
means I want to bribe you out there, and I'm going to bring home the bacon, and he does, to a level of obscenity.
Yes, indeed, and there are donors in old places like Arkansas or Mississippi, and Alaskans are the recipients.
Yep, yep.
Senator, one more quick question about Alaska politics. Where are you on ANWR?
First off, ANWR would have never happened had what I was doing was trying to delay the Alaska lands issue. And so with respect to had it been delayed, ANWR would not have been an issue.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I also, as you know, authored the amendment that brought about the Alaska pipeline. I felt that the pipeline was the environmental position. Because if you weren't going to bring the oil down from Alaska, you were going to bring it in the Panamanian tankers that were, you know, not all that good, polluting the area off of the Gulf of Mexico and the East Coast. So I felt that, now, at the time when I got the amendment through of the Alaska pipeline, I had an amendment for double bottom tankers and for controlling the Prince William Sound with radar like you do with an airport. And I was shot down by the Coast Guard that felt that, well, you leave control on a bridge. Well, that turned out to be a foolish thing because of when we had the Arco Valdez spill. That could have been avoided had, of course, we had the control on the shore with the radar. And then, of course, with the double tankers, now they're going to do double tankers.
Mm-hmm.
But it should have been right from day one that anything coming to our port should be double tankers.
Well, couldn't the Valdez have been averted if we just cut off drinks for the crew?
I don't. Yeah. Well, of course, that's a whole other thing of criminality. And I got to tell you, Exxon has paid through the nose, and rightly so.
Mm-hmm. Now, Senator Mike Gravel is our guest. He announced yesterday he's running for president. And one of the things that you are promoting is the idea of a national initiative process. You make the case that our legislative process in Washington is locked down, bought and paid for. We know from the K Street Project and what surfaced so far, the efforts of Jack Abramoff, that there was incredible collusion between Republican elected officials, lobbyists who lavished them with campaign cash, and the interest groups represented by the lobbyists who are often invited to come on down and write the legislation for us, because otherwise we won't know what you really need. And when we look at that and we see the excesses of Tom DeLay, the way he and others in the Republican leadership have repeatedly and incredibly violated the operating rules of the House and the Senate to jam things in after the conference committee had already completed its work, various chicanery like that, you are ready to offer the citizens of the United States some direct democracy. Tell us about it.
Okay, first off, what you describe is worse than what you described. It truly is. Stop and think. There are 32,000 lobbyists in Washington, D.C., what we call Gucci Gulch. Now, we all know, you can take polls, and the American people know that our government is in gridlock, it's corrupt, it doesn't work. And what's the answer? Well, elect some more, elect the Democrats this time. It really doesn't make any difference. You could shuffle the deck one way or the other. Power is a corrupting agent, and it corrupts everybody. What I'm suggesting is that there's only two venues for change and reform. One is the government. Of course, that's where the problem is. And the other, the people. And so we need to go to the venue of the people to bring about the kind of country we want. Now, to do that, and you have a particular sensitivity to this in California, because you're one of 24 states where people can make laws by initiative. I must say, the initiative process at all the state levels are inadequate because they merely qualify and then everybody throws money at it. Well, that's not a way to legislate. Legislation is a deliberative process. So what we have done over 15 years, now this didn't jump on the table. This took some doing, trial and error, study, what have you.
Mm-hmm.
So we and myself, primarily and colleagues, since I had a legislative background, we wrote a constitutional amendment that essentially asserts the people's power to go ahead and become lawmakers. And then we also do a thing is to outlaw monies that do not come from a natural person. And then we go ahead and set up an electoral trust, because if the people are going to have essentially a legislature of the people, we need somebody to administer the procedures on their behalf.
Mm-hmm.
And so we create an electoral trust to do that. And the trustees are only elected for 4 years. They're term limited, and that's all. And they come from all the states.
Now, you just used the phrase natural persons. The only people who could donate to an initiative at the federal level, as you try to frame it, are natural persons. And I infer that to mean that it excludes corporate interests.
Not only all kinds of corporate interests, whether it's a religion, anything in our country that's of any size or value or is incorporated.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and we have the whole corporate personhood issue, and I'll be dealing with that in the course of the campaign. But what we're saying is only natural people, only human beings can vote. Therefore, only human beings can give. Period. Mm-hmm. End of story. Mm-hmm. And we've got it such in the law that if you're a corporate CEO and the board gives you a bonus and a wink of the eye to go ahead and use this as an initiative, I got to tell you, we catch you once, you go to jail. Go to jail. None of this stuff of and I know from experience, you'd never be able to get something like that done, because whoever commits the crime with you has got you blackmailable.
Mm-hmm.
But moving on, we create a constitutional amendment and a federal statute along with that that says, that provides all of the legislative procedures, and essentially I've copied the procedures from the Congress. Now, this is applicable in every government jurisdiction of the United States. Now, when this becomes law, if Californians want to continue using their own initiative process, they can. But I got to tell you, in the minute they see this, they will say, this is the way to have lawmaking. You have hearings, you have markups, you have literally almost perfect communications so that Congress has communications. Mm-hmm. And that is that the people will be able to be informed as well as senators are informed today, and as a result of that, will be able to vote their enlightened self-interest, regardless if Bill Gates on one side and Warren Buffett on the other side each spend $1 billion.
Mm-hmm.
People are intelligent, and I always use on a stump the example of the Philip Morris situation in California to prove it. Now, once we have this in operation, now we know, and we call it the National Initiative, that's the legislative package, and we know the Congress is never going to enact this, and so what we do is we have found a way and put it in place, the methodology to go around the government. And so we use Article 7 of the Constitution as a precedent.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Peter, when you hear, if you were to ask most academics, they say, how did the people amend the Constitution? They'll say, well, they amended through Article 5. They're dead wrong, because Article 5 is how the government amends the Constitution, not how the people. If the people had to go to the government to amend the Constitution, here's the logic of it. We, in the preamble, the most important part of the Constitution, we the people do ordain. Well, if we are the creators of government, then what they're saying is the creator has to go to the createe to get permission to change the creation. Well, that's ludicrous. And so we set the precedent of Article 7 where the people ratified, not the people, conventions ratified, and there are reasons why it was done that way. And so we've set up a modern standard with our technology. We say that when 50% plus one of the people that voted in the last presidential election vote to enact the national initiative, it becomes the law of the land, and the Supreme Court can't even touch it. That amounts to 60 million votes right now. And so that's what it takes to get this enacted.
Mike Gravel is our guest. Former senator from Alaska declared for the presidency as a Democrat yesterday, and he is proposing a national initiative process. If you want to find out more, the easy web address is the letters NI, the number 4, and the letter D, NI4D, that's National Initiative for Democracy, .us. One more time, NI, the number 4, the letter D, .us, and there's a quick one-page summary of the concept of the National Initiative. Take a look and let me know what you think. If you have a question or comment, get on the line right now. Central Coast of California, 831-899-5792. Anywhere else, call me toll-free, 1-888-579-2540. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is hands down the finest Volvo maintenance and repair shop in Monterey County. Owners Mike Brooks and Tracy Palacco are both factory trained in Volvo service and repair. They provide outstanding quality and great service at reasonable prices. They only work on Volvos, so you know that your Volvo will be in caring and skilled hands. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside, or you can call Mike and Tracy at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show from the Left Coast.
Only in America can a guy from anywhere go to sleep a pauper and wake up a millionaire.
Well, it helps if you know Abramoff. I am your humble host, Peter B. Collins. Pleased to continue our conversation with retired Senator Mike Gravel, Democrat from Alaska, served two terms, and now he's back at it in the political fray. He announced yesterday he's a candidate for the Democratic nomination for president in 2008, and he has this very interesting concept for a national initiative. And I've got a caller I want to talk to, but first, Senator Gravel, I just wanted to give you a little bit more time here to describe the process of using Article 7 of the Constitution to enact the initiative process that would work nationwide. I'm very intrigued by this notion that we could eliminate corporate and other special interests and limit this process only to natural persons, to human beings. Because that would go a long way toward ferreting out the deep influence that money and the interests behind that money often exercise in our process. So what is the strategy here, and what are the mechanics? Do we have to amend the Constitution by getting three-quarters of the state legislatures to approve this?
Well, first off, no, because, you see, that's how the government amends the Constitution. And it's worse than that. You say that when three-quarters have to approve, but that means 13 can deny. But it's not 13 states, it's 13 chambers. So the minority that controls the advancement of our society is so strong and so small, and that's the reason why we've never had any fundamental change in 225 years, except for the advancement, the expansion of the franchise, which took place as a result of the Civil War and took place as a result of initiatives and referenda at the state level, which brought the women in. But the rest of that was just housekeeping. And it's terrible because it was designed for a country that was 225 years ago. We're now in the electronic age. We move our money around at will electronically. And we're still using the punch card or press the screen. And that's supposed to be how you can vote. I mean, why can't you stay home and vote on the telephone if you got a pin? we do that. I mean, make no mistake. The reason why the body politic wants to make it difficult for people to participate and vote, it's because they want to keep control. Now, when we go vote on election day, we like to tell everybody, well, that's where it's at. All you're doing on election day is giving your power away to politicians. You are disempowering yourself. And so that's fine. We're not trying to do away with representative government. But what we're saying, what is really going to count is to empower the people directly as lawmakers and let them be literally the fourth arm of government, the fourth leg, the fourth check to our three checks and balances, which really do not work whenever you have one party, Democrat or Republican, controlling the whole process.
Well, I certainly agree with that. Now, Senator, a couple of minutes back, you made an interesting remark that the Supreme Court would have no jurisdiction over this process. Won't the originalists and the Bush-packed Roberts Court go ballistic?
Yes, they will, and I hope they enjoy it. Stop and think, Peter. The Supreme Court cannot involve itself in the creation of a constitutional amendment. All they can do is adjudicate what that amendment does after it's been enacted. So that's the reason why I put only money from a natural person into the constitutional amendment rather than the accompanying federal statute. It's in both places, but I had to put it in where it counts in the constitutional amendment.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the federal statute are merely procedures for the people to legislate deliberatively and effectively. And this whole package is less than 4,000 words. And it's in legislative legalese,
mm-hmm.
but we have a Parrish report that accompanies this that really tries to explain it from a lay point of view. But there is no hope for our country and our democracy unless we bring the people into the process as partners, real partners, not people who elect politicians and then turn around and have to beg, write letters, protest, and get themselves locked in jail to try to get the message across to their elected officials.
Senator Mike Gravel with us. Dave joins us on the line from Humboldt. Hello, Dave. You're on the air with Senator Gravel.
Peter and Senator Gravel, Senator, I am so happy that you've made the decision to enter this race because I think if nothing else, you are at least going to cause some of the other candidates to have to dabble ever so slightly in reality, which they try to run from. So much is so wrong in Washington right now, and too many Democrats either just turn their back or become a part of the problem. One thing, you may have just touched on what is my main issue, and that is, are you aware that these touchscreen and these voting machines are a nightmare? They are easily rigged. They are the reason why we have all these cons in our government right now. That has to be changed and changed promptly. People that try to enact measures to get them changed, they never get them to the floor. The Republicans will not give up their crooked voting machines. That's how they got in power. That's how they intend to stay in power. Your thoughts
on that? I would not disagree with that for a half a second. I'm very familiar with the process. We ask people to go to the site that Peter was just telling you, ni4d.us, or the nationalinitiative.us. You go to that site, and it asks you to vote. You go to a site.
Oh,
it transfers you to a site called Philadelphia 2. It's a C4. Incidentally, it's a nonprofit California corporation.
Mm-hmm.
And you vote at that site. Now, people would say, well, how can you guarantee that my vote is legitimate? Well, first off, the information you give us, you can change your vote. You can go in the next day and change your vote or change it back again if you get different information because this is an election that's on one day. It's over a period of time. But what we're going to do that no government in human history has ever done, we're going to contact every single voter, hopefully mostly by either telephone or by email. And if we have any suspicions, we'll have a volunteer go check it out physically. And that will be to ask you, have you voted? Not how you voted, but have you voted? And then if you say yes, then we're going to have you sign a piece of paper and send it back to us. So we will have a 100% paper trail to the voting that we are conducting. Now, that's going to be a very expensive process for 60 million people. But I don't know of any simple way to do it. Now, as we move forward, the Electoral Trust is going to be charged with going out to register all Americans for life. In the law that we put forth, we repeat, say, very frequently, with advanced technology. Now, keep in mind, when the Electoral Trust is going to be setting up the voting procedures, because it will be done by one central area, and it will be open source.
Senator, let me stop us there. We need to talk again, and let's try to schedule it perhaps for next week, because I'd like to pursue this further. I'm delighted you've entered the race. I'm delighted you've introduced this concept, and there's a whole lot more to talk about. Mike Gravel, thank you. You're a fine American.
Thank you, Peter. My God, I love your music.
Okay, we'll talk again real soon, and I'll get Yikes McGee in touch with you. Coming up next, we're going to talk to an honoree of the Ford Foundation here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Oil tops $71 a barrel.
Some say $100 isn't out of reach.
Rumsfeld claims his critics are out of the loop.
People who are often talking about what's taking place inside here don't know what's taking place inside here.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. For the second day in a row, crude oil prices set a record. The new benchmark price is $71.35 a barrel. That means today's high gasoline prices will likely go even higher.
Yeah, man. I mean, $63 we just paid on filling up the gas for 18 gallons. I mean, that's ridiculous.
What's happening? Analysts blame three global hotspots. Iraq, where the war continues to disrupt supplies. Nigeria, where civil unrest has taken 500,000 barrels a day off the market. And Iran, where tensions are growing over its nuclear program. Add to that refinery disruptions here in the U.S. because of conversions to new additives.
CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason has talked to analysts who say $100 a barrel oil is not out of the question. Experts also say prices would come down if we start driving less, but President Bush doesn't seem to think that's going to happen.
At this time of year, people are beginning to drive more, getting out on the highways, taking a little time off.
He said the government will watch for price gouging. Now this.
Your loan's enemy, grubs. Their mission? To destroy your loan. So, backed by Bayer's 100-plus years of crop science expertise, Bayer Advance created season-long grub control with Merit, number one choice of professionals. No other formula kills more grubs. Plus, a single application protects your lawn for an entire season. Guaranteed. To grubs, it's the end of the road. To lawns, a new lease on life. Bayer Advanced season-long grub control. Better science, better results.
Net Zero, America's number one value-priced internet service, is only $9.95 a month, and there's no commitment and no credit card required. Signing up for Net Zero is so simple, you'll be online in minutes. Plus, Net Zero gives you powerful virus protection, and your service is backed by a connection guarantee. Join the millions of people who have switched to the internet service that ranks higher than AOL in customer satisfaction. Call 1-800-NET-ZERO or go to netzero.com. Sign up today, and your first month is free.
There was a lot to cheer about on Wall Street this afternoon. Stocks soared. The Dow jumped 194 points to 11,268. Much of the inspiration came from the Fed. CBS News correspondent John Harchie explains.
During last month's two-day meeting of Fed policymakers, most indicated the end of the two-year rate hike campaign was probably close, and some raised concerns about pushing rates too high, something that could slow the economy. The minutes of the meeting, just released, say members also recognized in current circumstances, checking inflation is important. And by the end of the March meeting, the vote to raise rates to 4.75% was unanimous. The next Fed interest rate setting meeting is May 10th.
President Bush gave Donald Rumsfeld another strong vote of confidence today.
I hear the voices, and I read the front page, and I know the speculation. But I'm the decider, and I decide what is best, and what's best is for Don Rumsfeld to remain as the Secretary of Defense.
For his part, Rumsfeld said his critics don't know what's going on inside the Pentagon. More from CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato.
Underlining his intention to stay on the job despite criticism from former generals, Defense Secretary Rumsfeld told reporters he never considered offering his resignation. Standing beside him, Joint Chiefs Chairman General Peter Pace disputed the ex-general's claim that Rumsfeld doesn't listen to his Iraq War commanders.
After we've given our best military advice, somebody has to make a decision. And when a decision is made by the Secretary of Defense, unless it's illegal or immoral, we go on about doing what we've been told to do.
Don't even suggest that.
Correct.
Illegal or immoral.
No. Rumsfeld accuses his retired military critics of not knowing what's really going on here. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, The Pentagon.
The second-ranking Senate Democrat, Dick Durbin of Illinois, is calling for Rumsfeld's resignation and wants the Senate to take a no-confidence vote next week. In Durham, North Carolina.
Thank you very much.
19-year-old Colin Finnerty, one of two Duke University lacrosse players charged with rape and kidnapping, made a brief court appearance. CBS News correspondent Jim Crisula was there.
This young man looked very, very nervous, overwhelmed, petrified, very much of a pained look on his face as he stood up and walked toward the judge.
Finnerty and 20-year-old Reed Seligman are charged with assaulting a stripper during an off-campus team party last month. Kirk Osborne is Seligman's lawyer.
We look forward to showing that he is absolutely innocent as soon as we can.
The alleged victim, a black woman, says she was attacked by three white men. The DA says he expects to charge a third suspect. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
XM Satellite Radio is the exclusive satellite radio network for Major League Baseball. And with the new season here, XM radios are available starting at just $50. XM gives you play-by-play for every team, so you can follow your favorite team wherever you are. And XM has America's largest playlist, including the most commercial-free music, plus news, talk, and other live sports. So why wait? Hurry in to stores like Best Buy, Circuit City, or visit XMRadio.com to get XM today. XM Satellite Radio. Listen large. Price after mail-in rebate and may vary by retailer. Required monthly subscription and hardware sold separately. Activation fee applies.
If you have allergies, discover new Allivert Citrus Burst. The instant it touches your tongue, it bursts into action. And you know allergy relief is on its way. New Allivert Citrus Burst is non-drowsy 24-hour relief in a great-tasting, quick-dissolving tablet. Get the allergy relief you need to keep going. Try new quick-dissolving Allivert Citrus Burst. Experience the relief. Use as directed.
The Peter B. Collins Show rolls on from the left coast. I am your humble host, Peter B. We're live on KRXA 540, Monterey, Salinas, Santa Cruz, and Pacific Grove. We're also live on KGOE 1480, Eureka, Arcata, Humboldt County. Our program is now heard in Phoenix, Arizona, every night on KPHX 1480. And if you're one of those new Phoenicians listening to the program, you'll want to visit my website, peterbcollins.com. There's a bio, a picture, a link to our archive programs, and a link to the live daily stream. Check it out. Coming up on the half hour, Jason Leopold in his weekly visit. He's the investigative reporter digging deep for truthout.org. And he has come up with an internal State Department memo that shows that Bush should have known well before the State of the Union address in 2003 that the claim that he made about Iraq trying to get yellowcake uranium from Niger was flatly false, and it was known to be false. So we'll air that out with Jason Leopold coming up in about a half an hour. An hour from now, Melanie Sloan, it'll be about an hour and a half. She's got another conflict there, but we'll be talking with her about half past the hour, next hour. She is the Executive Director of Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. And we'll see who is in the crew sites these days. Joining me now is a woman who has been honored by the Ford Foundation for her community work, trying to make things better in her own community. She is Bayravi Desai of the New York Taxi Workers Alliance. She is co-founder and executive director of that organization, which started back in 1998, and they represent the taxi drivers in New York City. More than 90 countries they originate from. Many of them work 12 hours a day, 6-7 days a week, and there are more cabbies killed per capita than police in New York City. Bayravi, welcome to our program.
Thank you so much.
It's nice to talk with you, and I want you to know that I have special empathy for cab drivers in New York, because a week before last, I was in the Big Apple, and I was foolish enough to hold on to my rental car, And I was driving around and just dodging yellow in virtually every direction.
And it gives you don't need a rental car in New York.
Well, no, it became more of a liability as time went on, but I was going into New Jersey, going up to Rhode Island, so I needed a car. But it just gave me new respect, because in most cases, I never attempt to drive in New York City. The subway and the taxi system are plainly superior to having one's own car. Tell me how you got involved in this type of work and your own brand of activism.
Sure. Well, you know, I mean, I grew up the daughter of, you know, immigrant parents. I grew up working class, which is really a euphemism for poverty in this country, I think. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my mom worked in a factory, and my dad owned a small store. And, you know, store owners, after taxi drivers, are the workers that are most likely to be killed on a job. And in fact, the statistic that you cited, Peter, is across the country, not only in New York.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. And, you know, drivers are 60 times more likely to be killed than any other worker. They're 80 times more likely to be robbed on the job. And so, you know, growing up poor and brown, an immigrant and a woman, it, you know, certainly is a very natural way to be politicized. And mm-hmm. I grew up under Reaganomics, and I certainly remember, you know, the level of, I think, poverty and desperation and racism that we experienced in this country, particularly throughout the 80s. And, you know, my mom, while she worked in a factory, was always a member of a union. And growing up, I really saw the qualitative difference of when she worked at a union factory versus a non-unionized factory. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of grew up really appreciating union politics and labor politics in general. The more politicized I became, the more I really wanted to organize working people, but not as part of a traditional AFL-CIO union, mm-hmm. but more of an independent organization, you know, that organizes around life conditions, not only working conditions.
And so is the Taxi Workers Alliance a labor organization, or is it different? Is it a community organization comprised of people who drive cabs?
You know, we see ourselves as a union. Mm-hmm. You know, we're taxi drivers are considered independent contractors. And so according to the National Labor Relations Board, they are not allowed to have a union, which would, in essence, be a collective bargaining agent. And so we technically, under the federal labor laws, are not a union. But, you know, politically, we're a union. We fight for the rights of working people. And, you know, we use our economic power to win political power and economic justice in this industry.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Bhairavi Desai. She's the executive director of the New York Taxi Workers Alliance. Give us a quick sketch of your membership. How many people driving cabs in New York, and how many of them are your members?
Sure. Well, there are 40,000 licensed yellow cab drivers in New York City. However, there are only about 24,000 jobs in the industry. So the city's really created its own surplus pool, and it's one of the ways that they keep wages down in this industry. And out of the 24,000 active drivers, 7,000 of them are members of the New York Taxi Workers Alliance. Mm-hmm. We're the largest taxi driver organization in the country.
Mm-hmm. And is it difficult because of the legal status, the structure that leaves your members as independent contractors? Is there a kind of gray area there when it comes to organizing them and representing them on a collective basis?
There is. I mean, you know, once you're under the National Labor Relations Act, a union essentially, once they win the certification, you know, the other side, the owners, the bosses, are required to come to the table. Now, how good your contract is still, of course, depends on your fight out on the streets and your ability to organize your workforce. But for us, those of us who are outside of the NLRA, we have to fight like hell just to get into that room. Mm-hmm. And so we have really had to build a political process. So 2 years ago when we fought for a living wage standard for taxi drivers. You know, drivers actually don't even have wages. In New York City, the majority of the taxi drivers are lease drivers. That means every single day they have to pay a fee to rent the vehicle and the medallion, which is the main capital in our industry. It's just a permit from the city that allows you to use a yellow cab for commercial purposes, but it's a permit that's now valued close to $500,000.
Yeah.
And so drivers pay a rental fee every day, and so their expenses, you know, with the lease of the car and the medallion plus the gas prices, amounts to about $130 per day. And so they work about 6 to 7 hours of their 12-hour shift just earning back that negative balance. And anything beyond that, if they're lucky to make anything beyond that, is what they get to take home.
Mm-hmm.
So we fought for a living wage, which for us meant increasing the meter fare and lowering the leases that drivers are charged.
Mm-hmm.
And up until then, there had never been a process for such a negotiation. And, you know, we politically forced it upon the city to get involved, and they brought both our union as well as the owners to the table to negotiate the rate.
And so, you ultimately were successful both in raising the fares and lowering the daily lease charge?
We were successful in raising the fares. And in terms of the leases, the city regulates the maximum lease amount. And while the owners had petitioned for a 26% increase on some of the leases, we managed only a 2% raise.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were successful in, you know, creating a proportion where a majority of the raise was to go into drivers' pockets for their income.
We're talking with Bayravi Desai. She is the executive director of the New York Taxi Workers Alliance. Bayravi, we're going to take a little break here, and when we return, we'll talk more about the individuals you represent, the challenges they face, and I want to see how they are weathering the current immigration storm here in the United States. If you have a question or comment for our guest, get on the line right now from the Central Coast, a local call, 831-899-5792, or call me toll-free from anywhere in the U.S., it's 1-888-579-2540, 888-579-2540, here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
I am Attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
KRXA 540 checks your traffic on the ride home. It's 418, and we check in with Metro Traffic.
All right, we're going to start in King City, southbound 101 at Salinas River. Keep your eyes open. Got a wood box in the second lane from the left there. And in Aroma, southbound 101 at Canyon Road. Crews are actually blocking the left lane. A big rig and a pickup truck are in the center divide there. Do be aware, though, traffic is heavily backed up in the area. So it's southbound 101 at Canyon Road in Aromas. Checking Highway 17, both directions through the Santa Cruz Mounds. Stall and accident-free. This report is brought to you by the National Association of Realtors. Selling your home, Realtors have the experience to price your home so it can sell for up to 16% more than selling it yourself. Ask if your agent is a Realtor, a member of the National Association of Realtors. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thanks a lot, Diane. We'll check back with you in about a half an hour. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm Peter B. We continue our conversation with Ford Foundation awardee Bhairavi Desai, a founder and executive director of the New York Taxi Workers Alliance. They work hard, they drive like mad, and they have to put up with all those jokes from David Letterman. Oh, some of them get way up over 55 right there on Fifth Avenue. Bhairavi, I want to, if you'll indulge me, just tell you a couple of quick stories that will hopefully explain why I respect cab drivers so much. In between radio gigs one time, I was a little desperate, and I took a job in Chicago driving a cab. And I lasted exactly 8 days.
Wow.
And I was paying, I think, $30 a day at the time to lease the cab, plus I had to put gas in it. And I think I worked a total of 8 days, and I lost money 5 of those 8 days. Mm-hmm. And the days when I made money, I wasn't too proud of myself because the only way I could make it work was to take people the longest possible route to O'Hare Airport. They'd get in the cab, and I'd say, O'Hare, and they'd say, yeah. And then I'd say, well, what time's your flight? And depending on how much time they had, that's how much time I took. To get them there just so I could try to pump the fare up as much as possible. And also, I have served in my union as a member of the national board, and I just wanted to tell you that even an AFL-CIO-affiliated union that has standing at the National Labor Relations Board, since really the Reagan era with PATCO, despite the kind of breathing room that we had during the Clinton administration, there's been an all-out assault on collective bargaining and any kind of organizing, and it's very difficult even for the mainline unions to get the respect and just the legal fairness that they should receive from both the NLRB and the Department of Labor.
Yeah, no, very true. I mean, I think that so much of the assaults on immigrants that we're seeing now, it's much of it is the extension of the real destruction of the NLRB at the hands of the Bush administration. I mean, they've been going after working people left and right. And, you know, I remember when the Patriot Act was first passed, you know, many people in the labor union understood that it was going to be used against striking workers. And, of course, we saw that, you know, in California when the Longshoremen's Union was basically, it was essentially a lockout, right? Mm-hmm. By the Mariner Association. But I remember Bush commenting on bringing in the National Guard and other military, and we've seen that also in New York when we went out on strike in 98. We were referred to by then, you know, the mayor, Giuliani, as taxi terrorists.
Wow.
I think there's, you know, there's a real criminalization of working people who resist and who struggle for the right to labor as dignity.
Well, and a moment ago I referenced the David Letterman jokes, and while his jokes are not overtly racist, over time they leave citizens around the country who've never been to New York, never been in a New York yellow cab, with very distinct impressions that these are non-citizens who don't speak English, and the subtext is that they don't belong here.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, I think from David Letterman to, you know, Jerry Seinfeld used to have an entire routine that, I mean, quite frankly, for me, it's too degrading to even, you know, to even articulate the kinds of nonsense that he would say.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely drivers have been real scapegoats and punching bags. I mean, it's a great irony, right, that while the vehicle, the yellow cab itself, has become a cultural symbol of New York City, that the men and women who give that vehicle any meaning at all have been such punching bags through the years.
And that's why we organize, because we understand that through organization and struggle, that's how we change the imbalance of power. And, you know, that's where, you know, people like, you know, the David Lettermans and the Jerry Seinfelds of the world, who could not survive in New York City without yellow cab drivers, right?
Yeah.
Or all the other immigrant workers whose labor they depend on. You know, we think that, well, this is how you raise their consciousness and educate them.
In case you just joined us, we're talking with Bhairavi Desai. She is a co-founder and executive director of the New York Taxi Workers Alliance. Now, tell us about how you earned this honor from the Ford Foundation.
Well, it's a really amazing program. It's called Leadership for a Changing World, and it's funded by Ford and administered by the Advocacy Institute, which is based in Washington, D.C., and they accept nominations. And, you know, we were really honored that the Taxi Workers Alliance and myself were nominated by an ally of ours, and I believe they had gotten about 900 nominations from throughout the country, and 17 of our organizations were given this great honor and opportunity.
Well, congratulations to you, and you're doing a lot of great work. Now, let's talk a moment here about the wave of anti-immigrant hysteria that I believe is sweeping the United States. How does it affect the taxi drivers? As I read in the introduction, your membership has people from more than 90 different countries of origin.
Yeah, we do. And, you know, Peter, we actually call ourselves the Working Class United Nations. And, you know, our joke is always that had we been in Iraq, our inspectors would not have left. We wouldn't have let the bombs fall, you know. That's why we're the Working Class UN, right?
Mm-hmm.
Drivers hail from 90 different countries and collectively speak over, you know, well over 100 different languages. But we have a common language of struggle and justice. And, you know, through that, we build unity across the different ethnic divides within our workforce. And, I mean, I think that, you know, the attacks on immigrants are not only affecting people that are undocumented, but also people that are documented, because, you know, it's very racialized, right? You walk down the street, somebody doesn't know what documents you have, but there is an assumption that when you're of a particular color or you wear a certain kind of clothing or speak with a particular accent, that you don't belong here. And not only that, but I think what the current immigration, quote-unquote, debate has done is it has said that not only do you not belong here, but that you are criminal and that, you know, you are illegal for just breathing the air on this land. And therefore, you should be locked up. You should not be given any services if, God forbid, you have a medical emergency. Your kids don't have a right to go to school. I mean, it's amazingly inhumane, particularly in a country that could not exist without immigrant labor.
Well, and I'll bet there are plenty of New Yorkers famous for their outspokenness who are quite willing to pipe up from the back seat of the cab and make all kinds of statements that probably don't sit well with the driver.
Right. Well, you know, particularly after 9/11, I mean, about 75% of taxi drivers are either Muslim or Sikh, and just ethnically, 60% of the drivers are South Asians, either Indian, Pakistani, or Bangladeshi. And, you know, I remember on 9/11 itself, there were two taxi cabs that were set on fire out on the street. We did a survey about 2,000 drivers, and we found that one out of four drivers reported either being physically assaulted themselves or the car itself was vandalized. And, you know, we've had a number of drivers who have been assaulted physically, who have been spat on or who have been cursed out or chased down the street because they're Muslim.
Yeah.
And, you know, with the, I think the current, you know, when you add to that the current hysteria around immigrants and all this racist nonsense about, you know, immigrants being illegal and criminal,
right, Right.
You can imagine the amount of pressure and discrimination that drivers have been facing.
I sure can. Babe Ravi, thank you very much for joining us. A pleasure to talk with you. Congratulations on your award from the Ford Foundation. Again, we've been talking with Babe Ravi Desai of the New York Taxi Workers Alliance. Jason Leopold joins us next with that smoking State Department memo right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Vote means that our investigation turned up nothing.
If somebody testifies lying before a grand jury, doesn't mean he's involved.
It is flat out absurd. Bush was begging that governor on the Sunday before the hurricane hit to get people out of there and to declare an emergency.
It's all crazy propaganda. The Joseph Goebbels Network.
Bush was on the phone with her. They were thinking about sending the military in because the state and local people weren't acting fast enough.
It is certain that some self-possessed judge somewhere will soon rule that three men or three women can rule.
Yet Iraqis are united in a broad and deep conviction. 12 government ministries are currently under the direct control of Iraqis. I don't think that's too high a standard.
If you retire, you don't have anything to worry about. Probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you've got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. You've got to catapult the propaganda.
Doesn't your Volvo deserve to be maintained and repaired by the best? Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is locally owned and operated by Mike Brooks and Tracy Polacco. Tracy is a factory-trained Volvo service advisor. Mike is a factory-trained and certified Volvo technician with over 17 years of experience servicing and repairing Volvos. Join the many Monterey Bay Volvo owners who only trust Hans Auto Repair to service their Volvos. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside. Call Hans at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop. You already know that Joe Rombi's La Mia Cucina in Pacific Grove serves the best Italian meals this side of Roma in an elegant, comfortable setting. What you may not know is that you can also enjoy Joe Rombi's incomparable cuisine in the comfort of your family room, dining room, or kitchen. Your only stop for such delicacies as portobello mushroom ravioli, spaghetti bolognese, crab cakes, and sand dabs is Joe Rombi's La Piccola Casa in PG on 17th, just above Lighthouse. Drop by on your way home from work or any time. And if you're looking for the ideal private room for your next party, look no further than Joe Rombi's La Piccola Casa and La Mia Cucina. Joe Rombi has three rooms that can accommodate groups of any size from 16 to 60. For unforgettable meals in a private setting at your place or theirs, call 373-8116 or drop by La Piccola Casa, 17th Street between Lighthouse and Laurel in Pacific Grove. Join R.J. Moyer for his new weekend show about college funding this Saturday at 10 a.m. on KRXA 540. R.J. Moyer brings to the microphone a unique perspective on the benefits of a college education, and he shares with you his knowledge on how to substantially reduce your out-of-pocket college expenses.
This is R.J. Moyer. Join me for About College Funding Saturday morning at 10 on KRXA 540, sponsored in part by The Potting Shed in Aptos.
This is the Peter B. Collins Show. And if I'm not mistaken, that makes me Peter B. Coming up about an hour from now, our weekly report on ethics in Washington, D.C. It's always a brief one. Melanie Sloan from Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington will update us about an hour from now. There's a new scandal involving a Democrat named Monahan from West Virginia. We'll tell you about it. But right now, it's time for our weekly visit with Jason Leopold, the intrepid investigative reporter who writes at truthout.org, and he's the author of a new memoir, his personal story, News Junkie, a Must Read. And Jason, congratulations to you. You broke a big story yesterday.
Oh, thank you,
and I got
you,
a copy of this State Department internal memo, and it's still hot in my hands.
Yeah, it's, I have to tell you that this is just unbelievable. I mean, it feels like every week that we speak, there's just something new that comes out of the, you know, the administration to shed more light on the, you know, the plane leak, the scandal, the lead up to war. But yet, I have to tell you that this document that was declassified over the weekend, which I should also say wasn't obtained by me, and but it was obtained by the New York Sun newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
Now, but
that's
what they.
Let's talk a little bit about that. That is,
yeah,
an unusual provenance. The Sun, I've read it a couple of times. It is a far right-wing publication, right?
Yeah, actually, the Sun, you know, I actually know the person who started the New York Sun. It's a person named Ira Stoll who used to work for the Wall Street Journal. He then went on to start the English version of a Jewish newspaper called The Forward. And he left there to start the New York Sun. It's a very far right-leaning newspaper, and it has a lot of similarities to the Wall Street Journal in terms of its, you know, the way the reports are written, a lot of the things that he learned at the Journal he put in there.
Mm-hmm.
But they obtained this this document, this state declassified State Department memo that was written in response to a question Scooter Libby had about Joe Wilson's trip to Niger in June 2003. They filed a Freedom of Information Act request last year. They got the memo over the weekend, and the story that they put out, I have to tell you, it's like a White House stenopad story. It basically says that, you know, the document doesn't say that Valerie Plame was, you know, specifically doesn't say that she was covert or undercover. So that was their story. And this is a six-page memo, which, I'd included a link. I think I sent you a copy as well. And it actually, you know, first of all, it says on every page it's marked as secret.
Mm-hmm.
But in addition to that, why they focused on that, well, it obviously, you know, the answer is easy considering, you know, they're a far right-leaning paper. But in this memo it says on January 12th, 2003, the State Department informed the CIA that the claims about Niger, Iraq trying to obtain uranium from Niger were false, based on forgeries. Now, this is the first piece of hard evidence that has surfaced to date, you know, and the strongest that shows that the administration either manipulated and ignored, you know, intelligence information in the run up to war. And it is damning, let me tell you. This is a damning document, and, you know, I consider it a smoking gun. It was written in response to a question Scooter Libby had posed to the State Department in June following a report that appeared in the Washington Post, which quoted, you know, at the time it was an unknown ambassador, which we now know to be Joseph Wilson, mm-hmm. who was saying that the administration is, twisting the intelligence about, Iraq trying to obtain uranium. And, you know, in the memo, they actually say, you know, yes, Joe Wilson went there. And by the way, we have long disagreed. We, the State Department, have long disagreed, you know, with the executive branch on these, you know, uranium claims. And in addition to that, it's the reason that Colin Powell, you know, did not mention it when he went to the United Nations. That was one week after Bush's State of the Union address. And it's just unbelievable.
Jason Leopold with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And let's get one correction out of the way. In the first dispatch that was posted at Truth Out, You miscounted the days, and you actually were being more generous to the president because
I was.
You said
I
he only had 11 days have seen this memo. And
you know,
the actual
I got into my head that January 23rd was the State of the Union. I don't know if that's a significant date in my subconscious, but the first dispatch when I put that out said 11 days. It's actually 16 days.
Right.
The State of the Union address was January 28th. So,
and Jason, when we make mistakes here on the Peter B. Collins Show, we turn to the Apologia Chorus, and here they are right now.
Oh, nice.
Excuse me. Now, with that out of the way.
Excellent.
Regardless of 16 or 11 days, the President of the United States clearly should have known, and we've heard Condoleezza Rice say, well, you know, maybe somebody in the bowels of the State Department, and we didn't actually know that the State Department had bowels. That's an image we don't really want to contemplate there at Foggy Bottom. But, you know, this flies in the face of the denials that have been made, and even the almost acknowledgement that Stephen Hadley made in July of 2003 when he fell on his penknife and said, oh, yeah, I'm responsible for that.
Right, exactly. And, you know, here's the thing that is that from this, you know, document that is explosive. We knew, you know, a lot of this was reported, but we never had hard evidence to back anything up. So the White House, the president, the vice president, they were able to say, well, you know, we never, that intelligence or that information, those warnings never made its way to us. We actually never knew, you know, how early the State Department or the CIA had, you know, alerted the White House. There was talk about March 2002 and then December. But the fact that this, you know, is now documented that on a specific day, January 12th, 2003, that is in there, that's unbelievable because it shows that, you know, there were warnings coming out, you know, quickly because they were preparing the State of the Union address at that time. You know, they were preparing the speech.
Yeah.
And in addition to that, it also says, in fact, these warnings may have been sound, you know, we may have sounded warnings even earlier. But they're saying, but we know on January 12th, 2003, this was, you know, we alerted the CIA, and, you know, that should have made its way to, you know, the president and the vice president. Mm-hmm. And I got to tell you, I don't have any doubt that it didn't. It certainly got there. You know, I can't imagine how it wouldn't. And, you know,
but the president tries to preserve this deniability. The only thing we know he has read is My Pet Goat.
Right.
He claims he doesn't read the newspapers. He didn't read the PDB that said Al-Qaeda wanted to attack the United States using airplanes as weapons. He recently, in a soundbite I heard today, he said, I read the front page.
Which
is progress, I get.
Yeah,
I guess.
But
this is part of a pattern, Jason, where we learned just last week that the president made that claim, oh, we found the WMD in Iraq, and he was referring to those
mobile
bioweapons labs.
Yeah.
And the information was available to the president indicating that these trailers they found were not mobile weapons labs.
Right.
So we cannot be sure what the president read or what was read to him.
Right.
But we do know that this contradictory information was delivered to the White House, and it did not filter up into official statements, including the State of the Union address, which in my view is a it's not quite a constitutional event, but it is a higher standard than just a presidential political speech or a comment at a press conference. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, you know, just going a step further, on July 18th, 2003, when they, quote-unquote, officially declassified a portion of the National Intelligence Estimate, which a senior administration official, who we now know to be Scooter Libby, had briefed reporters about once the White House, or I should say once Stephen Hadley took responsibility. If you go back and read that, which is it's available online, if you go back and read that Q&A and that explanation, and you read it in knowing what we know now in terms of this declassified document, you know, they're still trying to make the case that, you know, we didn't receive anything. But yet here we have, again, something that is just says, again, it's six pages, and it says, we alerted this agency, we alerted that agency. There was communication with the, you know, International Atomic Energy Association, mm-hmm. which, by the way, Dick Cheney said, you know, discredited Mohammed El-Baradei, the head of the agency, by saying, I don't agree with what he says. He was absolutely right. And, you know, to have a tangible piece of evidence now, something that you can actually, you know, hold in your hand and, you know, show it to people is, in my opinion, very, very important.
Well, let me quote Leopold quoting Cheney, because it's a little stronger than what you just paraphrased.
Yeah.
Quote, I think Mr. El-Baradei, frankly, is wrong. The IAEA has consistently underestimated or missed what it was Saddam Hussein was doing. I don't have any reason to believe they're any more valid this time than they've been in the past. And Cheney owes us all an apology for that.
That's at the very least an apology. And, you know, of course, at this point, it's like, okay, this is out there. Now what? And I think that is really, you know, a question in people's minds. It's like, this is out there. What do we do now? And that's the unfortunate thing is that, first of all, you know, I have to say that I think that this is a story that should have been on the front page of you know, the papers this morning. You know, this is a huge document to be declassified. And, you know, while I'm grateful that I was the one to be able to report it in the context that I did, you know, this is something that should have been out there, but that, you know, you should have been reading. Excuse me on that one. You should have been reading about on, you know, in the major publications. But
I'm sorry, Jason. You know, you're just so self-centered. You broke the story, and you think it should dominate the news coverage. I mean, Rumsfeld's under attack.
Right.
And
right.
He ran to Rush Limbaugh yesterday for a little comfort.
That's the top
news story.
Right. That's,
and of course,
totally
there are charges against the lacrosse team at Duke University.
Yeah.
That's
well,
national
know, hey, Barry,
news.
Right. Barry Bonds, you know, is also.
Right.
You know, he's out there. And it's,
and
it's,
I don't do
important.
The clear, but God, I'd look a lot better if I did. We're going to take a break and return with Jason Leopold. If you have a question or comment, join us 831-899-5792 or toll free 1-888-579-2540. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. You already know that Joe Rombi's La Mia Cucina in Pacific Grove serves the best Italian meals this side of Roma in an elegant, comfortable setting. What you may not know is that you can also enjoy Joe Rombi's incomparable cuisine in the comfort of your family room, dining room, or kitchen. Your only stop for such delicacies as portobello mushroom ravioli, spaghetti bolognese, crab cakes, and sand dabs is Joe Rombi's La Piccola Casa in PG on 17th, just above Lighthouse. Drop by on your way home from work or any time. And if you're looking for the ideal private room for your next party, look no further than Joe Rombi's La Piccola Casa and La Mia Cucina. Joe Rombi has three rooms that can accommodate groups of any size from 16 to 60. For unforgettable meals in a private setting at your place or theirs, call 373-8116 or drop by La Piccola Casa, 17th Street between Lighthouse and Laurel in Pacific Grove.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
Childhood Matters, the show for parents and everyone who cares about our kids.
The makeup of families in our communities are diverse, and the attitudes of adults are key in helping children feel comfortable with different kinds of families. Join Nurse Rona on Sunday to discuss the experience of children and parents in lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender families, both at home and at school.
Childhood Matters, this Sunday morning at 9 on KRXA 540. KRXA 540 checks your traffic on the ride home. Here she is, Metro Diane.
Still, just one accident to tell you about. It's in Aroma, southbound 101 at Canyon Road. Big rig and a pickup truck in the center divide for this one, but emergency crews and CHP both on the scene, and they're blocking the left-hand lane. And it's causing quite a backup. Traffic is actually backed up to 129, so be aware of that. Also, an animal on the roadway, South San Jose, Summit Road at Old Santa Cruz Highway, a deer on the right-hand shoulder walking pretty close to the roadway there, so keep your eyes open for that. Checking the Santa Cruz Mounts, both directions of Highway 17, stall and accident-free. This report is brought to you by Allivert. Allergies, discover new Allivert Citrus Burst. The instant it touches your tongue, it bursts into action, and you know relief is on its way. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show, 11 minutes away from the hour. Next hour, it's the Free Speech Zone, where we take calls on any subject from any viewpoint from anywhere within the sound of my voice. So get yourselves warmed up. It was quiet yesterday. I guess everybody was working on taxes at the last minute. I got mine out, and it's such a relief. I cleaned up my office at home last night, ran the shredder double time, and it's just so satisfying. We continue with Jason Leopold. You can read his work at truthout.org. Yesterday, he posted this powerful report based on a State Department document that he obtained from the New York Sun. So we don't have to worry about him following Scooter Libby into the courtroom as a leaker, at least not for this one. And, Jason, I do want people to access the story and also the link to the original document itself.
Yeah.
And I wonder if you can explain a couple of things here.
Sure.
The top of the memo reads secret, so that's very clearly there.
Right.
And then at the head of each paragraph, in parentheses, there is the letter S, followed by two forward slashes, and then the letters NF, N as in Nancy, F as in Frank.
Right.
I believe that the S indicates that the content of that paragraph is considered secret. Am
right.
I correct?
Yes. And NF is no foreign, meaning that you can't share it with even foreign allies.
Okay.
By the way, I may have that a little off, but it's basically that's what it's that's what it means.
Okay.
And that's what's sort of strange in this whole thing is that, you know, the New York Sun, which I have to say, you know, I got to give them credit. They got this. You know, they filed the Freedom of Information Act request. They got this document, but they squandered a huge story. And saying that her Valerie Plame's CIA status wasn't clearly marked as secret when it says secret on every page.
Mm-hmm.
So, aside from that, I guess that's, you know, at this point, that's another issue. But she was certainly, you know, classified her status was, and it seems pretty clear from the document.
Yeah, the paragraph 2 is where her name first comes up in a
right.
February 1902 meeting convened by Valerie Wilson, a CIA WMD manager and the wife of Joe Wilson,
right.
Yada, yada, yada. That paragraph is preceded by S / NF, the designation
right.
we just described.
Yeah.
And these documents also are interesting in comparison to older government documents I've seen that have been declassified, because instead of a magic marker or a Sharpie used to redact and black
yeah.
out areas, they just have lifted the text and replaced it with an outline of a box.
Right. They sort of just outlined the, I guess, the area where it would be, and that
right.
that is interesting. The other part that's really, you know, that I'm still trying to chase down is this, you know, this memo, which was written on June 10th, I believe it's, yes, the date, June 10th, 2003, it says Valerie Wilson. When, you know, how did Valerie Plame come up is what we're trying to figure out here. So, you know, because they knew her as Valerie Wilson, but Robert Novak, who first disclosed her, you know, identity and CIA status in his column, referred to her as Valerie Plame. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is also interesting as part of a bigger picture, Jason, and I'm going to be a little bit oblique here because
sure.
I want to protect a story that's in progress. But one of our contributors who will be on later this week has done some reverse engineering of some statements that were made last week in support of Donald Rumsfeld,
mm-hmm.
and there's an inadvertent slip that a general made. And that's as far as I'm going to go right now. But the point I'm making is we're now seeing access to a lot of the information that was kept secret 3, 2, or 1 year ago. And now people are relaxing as they run to cover.
Yeah, and that's very interesting that you bring that up, because I was actually on the White House website where you could read all of the archived press briefings. Mm-hmm. And knowing what we know now about this investigation, or at least the information we have so far, and going back and reading the press briefings that Scott McClellan had been heading, there's one of them where it's actually now, there's no doubt that very early on, he was told that she wasn't, you know, her status wasn't classified. Now, the reason that I say that is because it suggests that there are people in the administration who knew a lot more early on than they've let on to know, than they've, you know, publicly have disclosed.
Right.
And when you read this, based on the information we have now, you sort of have like, clues to, you know, based on the things that they said back then that may not have made sense, but now they certainly, you know, you put it into context, it suggests a lot more.
Billy, join us from Capitola. You're on the air with Peter B. and Jason Leopold.
Do you want the good news or the bad news?
Oh, both.
Well,
you get to choose the order.
The bad news is that that good news is bad news, because congratulations, Jason, you got a great scoop.
Thank you.
It's something we all knew, in a sense, but, you know, here's your proof. But you know what? It's not going to amount to anything.
Yeah.
That's the bad news. The bad news is America has already lost its democracy. We have no guts. This isn't going to change a thing. That's the bad news.
Well, you know, Billy, I appreciate what you're saying, and, you know, many people have actually emailed me saying that. Here's my response. I agree. I do think that this won't do anything. What I would actually like to see happen is, and, you know, call for investigations.
By the Republican Congress?
It's something like that.
Yeah,
I mean,
not gonna happen.
But the thing is that for me, to keep this story alive, to keep this alive and to continue hammering away, I think does something. I'm not sure what it actually does. Maybe it just gets
you know what?
Outrage,
you're right about the fact that this is what you must continue to do.
Right.
Just like what I must continue to do is to keep reminding people how impotent that we are, that we already know all of these things. We already know these people are immoral. We know they've been lying to us. We know they've committed treason. And yet, we are doing nothing about it.
Right. Right.
America,
that's actually, you know, a big debate that, you know, that we've been having. And I'm holding out hope that you know, come November, we don't need 50 seats, but, you know, when we take back both houses, hopefully, and they have all this information or they have all this in hand, then maybe something will happen. You know, I'm keeping my fingers crossed. But
Billy, thanks for the call. Now to Ben and Salinas. Hello, Ben. You're on the air.
Yes, I somewhat agree with the previous caller, Mr. Sunshine there.
Yeah.
However, I wanted to say that why are you hear about documents and memos, why does anybody presume that this dude reads? Bush does not read. His intellect is cartoon level, and you know that he lives in a bubble. He is spoon-fed what they want him to know, probably through Rove and Congolese there, and he lives in under this delusion of messianic delusion. They're not going to let any food reach him that doesn't comply with the messianic delusion under which these people hold themselves. I even think his food is pre-digested.
Not the pretzels.
However, I wanted, but vis-a-vis the upcoming war in Iran, which I think they're really seriously, they say we've got troops on the ground. I tend to believe it. But the one thing that needs to be considered, when you put a 700 megaton, whatever, kiloton nuclear weapon into something that can fracture the earth, what are the possible long-term consequences of exploding something of that magnitude on a tectonic plate which exists in Nevada, where they're going to have that test in a few days?
Well, Ben, you didn't get the word.
You
didn't get the word. We're heading for the end time, so it just won't matter. But
your point
is very well taken.
Hey,
I'm
America,
for time
what
here.
Happens when you crack an egg?
Okay, I got to go. Thank you, Ben, but I appreciate your point.
You know,
Jason, I want to close by saying that I appreciate what those two gentlemen just said,
yeah,
but
yeah.
I believe that the work you're doing is extremely valuable, even if it doesn't produce an immediate result.
Well, thank
and I
you.
Think it will become part of the chorus of voices warning us not to believe this administration again as sabers are rattled toward Iran.
Yeah.
And that is a salutary service, and I thank you for it.
Thank
we'll talk
you,
again
Peter.
Next week, Jason.
All right. Have a good week.
Jason Leopold, read his book, News Junkie. Read his articles at truthout.org. Coming up next, the Free Speech Zone, and I want to hear from you on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything's so tasty, you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a pillar affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. MPG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Gas prices and early season pain in the pocketbook.
We fill the car up twice a week now. It's $60-$65 each time to fill it up. It's gone up a lot.
I don't get to do a lot of shopping anymore because of gas.
It's expensive, the gas. It's getting ridiculous.
Oil closed at a new record, $71.35 a barrel today. CBS News reporter Claire Laka.
Oil prices are hitting record highs in New York, trading close to $71 a barrel today. This is a big concern at the pump because demand, especially in the summer months, increases, and we're already seeing very high prices for gasoline in advance of the peak driving months.
Four people are dead in Wellston, Missouri, outside St. Louis. The suspect killed himself after murdering his wife and two other people at his job. Two Duke University lacrosse players have been indicted for rape.
This is Jim Brazil in Durham, North Carolina. Many of the students who attend the same college as the woman who claims she was raped by members of Duke University's lacrosse team say the arrest of two players is long overdue.
It definitely took too long, and something should have happened a long time ago. And I don't think that it's quite fair that the rest of the players, I mean, they've had time to get their story together.
North Carolina Central University junior Stephanie Holland hopes the arrest will ease racial tensions in the case, in which the alleged victim is black and the accused are white. Jim Krasula, CBS News, Durham, North Carolina.
The defense for Zacharias Moussaoui called him delusional and psychotic today.
His lawyers and doctors say that Moussaoui is mentally ill, a paranoid schizophrenic, and that jurors should consider this condition when they decide whether he should live or die. Prosecutors have their own medical experts who are going to say later this week that this diagnosis is unsound and should not impact the jury's decision anyway.
CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen. During one break in the court action, Moussaoui himself shouted, "Crazy or not crazy?" That is the question. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld says he's staying put as long as the president wants him.
Rumsfeld has come under fire from a small group of retired generals who accuse him of mishandling the Iraq War. They say he ignores the advice of commanders in the field. They claim he's arrogant. Standing beside the defense secretary here at the Pentagon, Joint Chiefs Chairman General Peter Pace insisted Rumsfeld constantly hears the military's viewpoint before making decisions.
That's CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato. Honest is as honest does. In Santa Ana, California, Kim Bogue lost her wallet, accidentally tossed it into the trash. It had $900 in it, money she had saved toward a trip home to Thailand. The wallet was found by a man so broke he was searching the trash for bottles and cans. He found the woman and gave her back the wallet with every dollar in it. Yes, she gave him a reward, $100. On Wall Street, the Dow jumped 195 points today to close at nearly 11,269. The Nasdaq gained about 45 points on the day. This is CBS News.
Do you know your credit score? You should, because staying on top of your credit could help save you thousands of dollars. You can now get your credit score and credit report at freecreditreport.com.
I go online and in seconds I get my credit report and credit score free.
I can even print it right off my computer.
Staying on top of my credit helped me save a lot of money.
Get your free credit report and score with enrollment and triple advantage at freecreditreport.com. That's freecreditreport.com.
Karen, open-toed shoes?
I know.
Your feet, they look beautiful.
I know.
But your toenails used to be so... I'm sorry, but they looked ugly.
I know. I tried something new to improve them. Dr. Scholl's Fungal Nail Management Kit. It has a revitalizer that made my toenails look better in just 1 week.
1 week? That's so fast.
I know. Trust me. If you want to improve the appearance of your nails in just 1 week, look for Dr. Scholl's Fungal Nail Management Kit in the green box. Use as directed.
It's been said a fruitcake never goes bad. Here's the proof.
When Lance Nesto was a 24-year-old soldier back in 1962, his aunts sent him a fruitcake. He didn't like fruitcakes, but wanted to spare their feelings, so he didn't throw it out.
I just put it away, and I kind of forgot about it.
Then he stored it in his mother's attic and remembered it from time to time.
My joke is that I hear it crawling around in the attic on dark nights.
Prompted by friends, he finally pulled it out of a box and found...
It looks pretty much like a fruitcake should look.
And the smell...
It smells like a fruitcake. You know, it's not offensive, but it's certainly not anything I'd like to smell too long.
He's now toying with the idea of selling it on eBay. Cammie McCormick, CBS News.
When coyotes find their way into New York City, someone pins a name on them. A few weeks back, there was Hal in Central Park. Now a coyote's been spotted in the largest public park in the Bronx, and quick as a wink, he's been nicknamed Jacob Van Cortlandt, spotted at the fifth hole of the Van Cortlandt Park's golf course. Jacob, by the way, for Jacobus Van Cortlandt, a mayor back in the 1700s, for whom that park was named. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Your loan's enemy, grubs. Their mission? To destroy your loan. So, backed by Bayer's 100-plus years of crop science expertise, Bayer Advanced created season-long grub control with Merit, number one choice of professionals. No other formula kills more grubs, plus a single application protects your lawn for an entire season. Guaranteed. To grubs, it's the end of the road. To lawns, a new lease on life. Bayer Advanced season-long grub control. Better science, better results.
Net Zero, America's number one value-priced internet service, is only $9.95 a month, and there's no commitment and no credit card required. Signing up for Net Zero is so simple, you'll be online in minutes. Plus, Net Zero gives you powerful virus protection, and your service is backed by a connection guarantee. Join the millions of people who have switched to the internet service that ranks higher than AOL in customer satisfaction. Call 1-800-NET-ZERO or go to netzero.com. Sign up today, and your first month is free.
Peter B. Collins.
Oh, yeah. It's the third hour of our daily chat fest here called the Peter B. Collins Show. And we open up the phone lines for the free speech zone right now. You can call me on any subject from any viewpoint. Yes, we welcome Republicans to the program. Had a great chat with a fellow named Tom the other day. On the Central Coast, lines available at 831-899-5792. And our toll-free switchboard has lines open, too. That's 888-579-2540, 888-579-2540. As we welcome back our able producer, Matt Renner. Took a little time off, went to Washington, D.C. to visit the cherry blossoms. And he's back in action here on the left coast. No shortage of subjects to talk about. We heard from Eugene Bird at the top of our program today, Counsel for the National Interest, advocating for a level American policy toward Israel and Palestine. We also talked to Senator Mike Gravel. He is our first interview with an 08 Democratic presidential candidate. He served two terms in the Senate from the great state of Alaska, and now he is promoting the idea of a national initiative as a way to end the gridlock and the sellouts to special interests in our legislative branch in Washington. Also could be an interesting way to end one-party rule. You heard Jason Leopold talk about The incredible State Department memo that proves that Bush should have known prior to the 2003 State of the Union speech that the reports linking Iraq to uranium from Niger were completely false and based on forged documents. And during the news break, I dug up this clip. This is Condoleezza Rice trying to explain away that discrepancy.
The president quoted a British paper. We did not know at the time. No one knew at the time in our circles. Maybe someone knew down in the bowels of the agency, but no one in our circles knew that there were doubts and suspicions that this might be a forgery. Of course, it was information that was mistaken.
Now, given what I knew about where the question had originated, and given what I knew about the way the government works, I knew that people in her circle did know.
Well, there you have Condoleezza Rice trying to explain how those 16 words got into the State of the Union message. I'd like to hear from you. Again, my line's open at 831-899-5792 or toll-free 888-579-2540. Billy in Santa Cruz, join us. You're on the air.
Hey there. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, Billy, do you know there's only one house rule here at the Peter B. Collins Show?
Oh, what's that?
Listeners shall not thank Mr. Collins for taking their call. I'm delighted you called. If you didn't call, I'd just be sitting here flapping away, sounding like Rush Limbaugh in his monologue Jag.
Well, I don't like Rush Limbaugh, and I like the way you talk anyway.
Well, but I like it when people call, Billy, so you go right ahead.
Okay, what I wanted to comment on is on the six retired generals from the Army.
Yes.
I have 10 children of my own, and I've always taught them to stick together. And if six of my children came to me to tell me that four of them were doing wrong, which is the four in the leaders, the president, the vice president, and Cheney and Condoleezza Rice,
And
they come and told me that something was going on and they thought that they were wrong, and I would think I would believe them because they were taught not to go against one another. And I think these six generals really retired so that they could get out and speak and ask and help for our service generals that are in there already. They need someone to speak out for them. They need this man out of there so that they can get control of their army back and these men and our soldiers can be encouraged again. These right now our hands are in somebody's hands that don't seem like they know what they're doing with it. I would like for my children to be rescued, and only people that right now that seems need to help us are our soldiers. Our lives are in the hands of our soldiers and our generals right now. We need help. We don't need these people in there trying to protect Bush. But, and anybody that votes Republican this year, it got to be crazy in June. Because if the Congress won't let nobody in there to touch him, and then these people claim that they're Republicans and they're going to go in there against Bush, then everybody that they putting in there, back in there that are Republicans, saying that they're going to hold up Bush too to keep him from going to jail. This is outrageous. Someone needs to speak out for our generals. And if the ones that are in there don't realize that the generals that are trying to help them now and speak up now, they better speak up because America will back up anybody because we are a democratic country and we don't care what nobody does. But we will back up our generals and the United States of America and our soldiers right now. Right now our hands are in our lives are in the hand of our soldiers and they all need help. So that's what I wanted to call and say.
Well, Billy, thank you for saying that. And as the mother of 10, I accord you great respect and a deep sense of understanding. Tell me, are any of your children in the military right now?
Yes, I do. I have a son, and he's been to Iraq, and I prayed God for him to come home safe when it first went down, and he volunteered to go in there. And the Lord brought him home safe, and I'm so proud of that because I was so angry about him having to go, and then they neglected them, and we couldn't even buy them armor to protect my own son. And the military, and after they volunteered, they mistreated them so badly. How can you be a volunteer for a country and put all our soldiers in, go ahead and just shoot my son? And then say if we buy them equipment to help them, then they can't use them or they won't get the insurance. This is malarkey.
Well,
we're
Billy,
a democratic country.
That's a very important statement. And let me just ask you about this, because I agree with you that it is shameful that, we didn't send our troops with the proper equipment and armored Humvees. We caught up. And apparently, much of that has been rectified so far. But two things that I'll raise. One is that they ruthlessly used that argument against John Kerry in 2004, claiming that his vote against the $87 billion additional bankroll for Iraq was a vote against the troops. And that was a very cynical gesture because, of course, we know that that $87 billion appropriation was for year two in Iraq. And the armor for individuals and the Humvees or other vehicles that have been that were better protected against these roadside bombs should have been part of the original appropriation, the second one. And
that's
so they
correct.
Played politics with that in a way that I found very unseemly. But to top that, consider that Bush claimed that we had to go into Iraq because this dangerous madman had weapons of mass destruction, and we had to get them away from him before he used them again. And in doing so, if he had actually had WMD, we provided a whole new level of provocation for him to use them. And so the cynicism is either that they knew they were lying, and so they could send our troops in without adequate protection against biological or other weapons, or they didn't care.
They didn't care. That's the whole thing down to a nutshell. They don't care now. And that's the reason why we need to encourage our show soldiers. And if the generals that are in there now, they ought to, someone need to speak out. And I'm so proud of this older man that's running for to be our president, Mike Covell.
Gravel.
I'm so proud of him.
Uh-huh.
Because he was saying that the Army needs to be put back into the public's hands, the United States of America, and they do. We need to support our generals that are there, and I thank God for the six ones that are trying to tell everybody in the United States of America that we need to get Rumsfeld out of there because it's not working. Someone needs to step up that has the authority to help these generals because they're scared to let anybody come in there to see what's going on because they know that they, right now, our children are not doing anything right now but babysitting them people over there. When they went over there to take the thing from Saddam, okay, so we have it. So now they're babysitting them, and now they tell them they don't like the person they elected. Well, whoopee-doo. So now they're going to have to babysit them until they elect somebody else. And all we're doing is babysitting over there. We need our soldiers here. They need love from their parents, and they need support from our troops, and our generals need support from America. And we don't need no more Republicans in there because we are a democratic country. And all of these Republicans, whether they're in there now and whether the ones that are going in, if they took over our country now, if you put them back in, they're going to take over it again. And so the Democrats need to really step up. And if they vote in the Senate, they need to vote on this here because, really, the United States of people, I want to say for the United States of America people, we don't care what Democrat in there has done again that's bad in their lifestyle. We do not care. We just want you to run our country right. So if they want to bring out any junk on you, just let them bring it out on you because we're going to vote for you anyway. And that's all I have to say.
You said it well. Thanks for your call. I think it's your first time, and I invite you to call us again.
Thank you.
My pleasure. That's Billy in Santa Cruz. Your call can be next, 831-899-5792, or toll-free, pardon me, at 888-579-2540. Those numbers put you through to the Peter B. Collins Show here in the Free Speech Zone.
Is what you're doing in the market working for you? Are you happy with the results? Are you making money? Sundays at 2 p.m., KRXA is proud to present a new show entitled Safe Money and Retirement Talk, hosted by R.J. Moyer of About College Funding and the Protect My Assets Radio Network. R.J. will present the latest information necessary to help you protect your money and ensure a comfortable retirement. Join R.J. Moyer every Sunday from 2 to 3 p.m. for Safe Money and Retirement Talk, right here on KRXA 540.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make the Monterey Bay area such a delicious slice of our tasty planet. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
KRXA 540 checks your traffic. Now it's 519, and here's Metro Diane.
Well, actually, not too much to tell you about this time around. Santa Cruz Mountain, southbound 17, after the summit, we have a very, very slow-moving truck pulling a trailer there. I'm actually worried that they might not quite make it over the hill, so definitely be aware of that. In Aromas, southbound 101 at Canyon Road, we had an earlier accident that was blocking a lane. It has been cleared. All the lanes are now reopened, but traffic is still quite heavy and backed up to Highway 129. In Santa Cruz County, northbound 1 at Buena Vista Drive, keep your eyes open. Got about three dogs running around in the roadway there.
Woof, woof, woof. Sorry, my dogs aren't available right now.
This report is brought to you by Hyundai. Hyundai, where they're challenging and beating the competition. Oh, my goodness. That must have been one that hit somebody. But don't take their word for it. Take the Hyundai Challenge, going on a few more days at Hyundai. Please visit HyundaiChallenge.com. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
Lord have mercy. You got the Peter B. Collins Show, rocking your radio, and I'm glad you're listening. We're in the free speed zone where your calls are welcome on any subject from any point of view. Central Coast number is 831-899-KRXA. That's our flagship station, 899-5792. You can also call me toll-free at 1-888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. Want to acknowledge a lovely email from Christine with a K in Santa Cruz. Thank you, Christine. Good to have you listening. Up next, Moira in Marina. Welcome to the program, Moira.
Hey, Peter B. Happy Tuesday.
Why, thank you. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fabulous.
Good.
I just wanted to call and let you and your listeners know, if they don't already, that there was a landmark decision last week in Los Angeles, Ninth Circuit Court, and it basically says that homelessness is not a crime.
You are correct.
Just to be honest,
the case came out of Los Angeles, the Ninth Circuit's actually in San Francisco.
Oh,
but
there you go.
You're correct
the
on
correction.
The ruling that they stated that police cannot arrest people simply because of the condition of homelessness that puts them on the street or in the way or however it is described.
Yes, absolutely, and I appreciate the correction. The point that I wanted to make as it relates to that is hopefully now we will stop moving the problem around and start working on tangible solutions.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to mention there is a program here on the Monterey Peninsula called iHelp,
okay,
which provides transitional and overnight accommodation for the homeless here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a run out of Marina. And they, on occasion, are looking for volunteers to help prepare hot meals. And if anybody had an interest in volunteering, they could Google iHelp,
okay,
and get in touch with Linda Forkash, mm-hmm, who is the director.
Sounds like you've spent some time helping them.
A little bit. I'm just kind of plugging in here from Santa Monica, where I'm still fairly active.
I see.
So, and yeah, it's a... Go ahead.
What do you think it says about our society that we have grown accustomed to seeing homeless people in our midst, and we're able to see them without seeing them? And I you know, include myself. I was sitting at a traffic light the other day, and there was a man who looked terribly desperate, holding up a sign asking for money or food, and you know, I avoided making eye contact with him.
Well, I think you have to look yourself in the mirror and answer that question. I think as a whole society, it's really, really pitiful. I think that we really need to step up to the plate, make eye contact, smile at someone, acknowledge their existence, and then demand your leadership create solutions.
Mm-hmm.
It's a complicated problem, but we can only measure our own success by the least in our communities.
Well, that's very well put.
So we really need to continue to focus. And it's not just eradicating homelessness. It's plugging up the drips that lead to homelessness, the gentrification of affordable housing by developers, you know, using the Ellis Act to go out of business to sell condos,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they're throwing out senior citizens and disabled persons. And,
well,
you know,
and
it's happening all over our country.
The misguided bankruptcy bill that was passed last year will create a whole new wave of homeless people whose crime was that they had a medical crisis or some other serious financial setback. The breadwinner lost work. And we really have removed the elasticity from the safety net and from the economic plight of people at the bottom of our economic ladder.
You're absolutely right. And I think Marina could do a lot better than a Walmart. And we need to set a standard for living wages and health and benefits. And, you know, there's going to be a pile of new development going on.
Yeah.
And we need to start with the first, and that's Walmart, and keep them out, first of all. And then in this conversation, decide what we need as a community for living wages. Because, mm-hmm. you know, to get $500,000 in sales tax revenue and need to plow it back into the county health system, that's ridiculous. There's no benefit. There's no gain.
Yeah. Moira, thanks a lot. I want to jump to Chris.
Have a great afternoon.
Chris and Salinas, you're next on the Peter B. Collins Show. Go ahead.
Yeah, Peter, I was just kind of wondering why everybody's so up in arms about Donald Rumsfeld when the policy in Iraq, according to the Bush administration, is going as planned. I mean, the project for the new American century, it's right down to a T. One thing people don't seem to understand, and it's never in the press, is that we have 4 mega bases being built there, or built there, actually built there. And we're not going anywhere, at least under Bush. And we got to get rid of Bush. We got to get rid of the Republicans out of Congress and out of the House of Representatives and Senators.
Well, Chris, I have no real argument against that. The point is that people believe at the moment that Rumsfeld is vulnerable, and his exit doesn't require an election or, you know, a shift in control of one of the houses on the Hill. So that's why he is vulnerable, and people see that. And I also believe that there are two drivers for these generals who've gone public. One is that they want the record to reflect that it was Rumsfeld and not they who lost this conflict, this war. And secondly, I think they are genuinely concerned about what Cy Hirsch reported, that not only are we planning to invade Iran or bomb the hell out of them, but we are openly considering using nukes. And that option, the Pentagon tried to get it off the table, and the White House said, what, you crazy?
Yeah, but if that's so, and all this information about the fact that we have plans in the works 6 years in advance, then these so-called General Zinni and everybody else would already know we have plans to go into Iran.
Well, I don't disagree with that, but they could be seen as contingency plans. Zinni's been out of the loop for 2 or 3 years now, so I wouldn't personally cite him. He is on a book tour right now. We're going to try to get him on the program because I'd love to hear his point of view. But I don't know specifically that he was involved in any forward planning for Iran. But I do take your larger point.
Well, what I was trying to get at, actually, is that even if we replace Rumsfeld, the policy isn't going to change. I don't believe it's going to change. You can put anybody in there. I think they're going to run it the same way until Bush is gone.
Well, and there's also what lurks in my mind whenever you talk about dumping somebody like Rumsfeld, you figure, well, Bush will come up with somebody worse. That's how I felt about Harriet Myers. You know, it was momentarily gratifying that the right wing bumped her out, and then, of course, they brought us Sam Alito. So that's an important instructionary episode. Thank you, Chris.
Hey, take it easy.
More of your calls coming up in a moment, and we're going to get a brief report from Melanie Sloan in Washington, D.C. in our next segment. On the Peter B. Collins Show, you can call us at 831-899-5792. Or if you want me to pay for the call, yeah, I'm rich. Yeah, right. 888-579-2540, toll free, 888-579-2540. My email is peter@peterbcollins.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just-renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
All you guys on the left, you demonize this president.
Gitmo, they're not even garden variety POWs. They're the worst of the worst. They don't even receive the protection of the Geneva Conventions.
Ned, I really believe that pagan and the abortionists and the feminists and the gays and the lesbians who are actively trying to make that an alternative lifestyle, the ACLU, people for America, all of them who tried to secularize America, I point the thing in their face that you helped us have.
I totally concur, and the problem is we've adopted that agenda at the highest levels of our government. And so,
I believe Saddam Hussein is a threat to the American people. And I've got good evidence to believe that.
Undeclared chemical warheads in Iraq.
The declaration that he made is proof positive.
Saddam Hussein possesses some of the world's deadliest weapons.
Saddam Hussein has biological weapons and the capability to rapidly produce more, many more.
The world is increasingly seeing this from the United States' point of view.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming.
He's not disarming.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming.
You already know that Joe Rombies serves the best Italian meals this side of Roma. What you may not know is that you can also enjoy Joe Rombies' incomparable cuisine in the comfort of your family room, dining room, or kitchen. And if you're looking for the ideal private room for your next party, look no further than Joe Rombies' La Piccola Casa and La Mia Cucina. For unforgettable meals in a private setting at your place or theirs, call 373-8116 or drop by 17th Street between Lighthouse and Laurel in Pacific Grove.
Get up, stand up. Do you care about issues affecting the working men and women of our community? Healthcare, immigration, the warmerization of our economy, social justice issues in general.
If you care, there's a show for you. It's called Labor Matters, hosted by Jose Mendez and myself, Ren Bradley. Please join us every Sunday from 11 a.m. to noon.
Imagine how nice it would be if your mortgage broker knew as much about the ins and outs of specialized lending programs as your trusted mechanic knows about your car. A mortgage broker willing to take the time to open the hood of your financial strengths while checking under the engine for costly money leaks. Make sure your mortgage broker has the experience, integrity, and know-how to provide you the optimal financial tune-up for your particular circumstances, giving you staying power over the long haul and the capacity to take advantage of life's opportunities as they chance to appear.
Hi, I'm Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage in Salinas. Let me help you fine-tune your future real estate plans. The price of gasoline is through the roof, but interest rates are still near all-time lows. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Give me a call today at 757-0436. 757-0436. I'm Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage and looking forward to working with you.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. We're growing from the left coast. Recently invaded Phoenix, Arizona. Want to send a shout out to all our new listeners on KPHX 1480 in Phoenix. And very soon we'll be on in Sacramento on 1240 Talk City. Got to get some glitches out of the switches and then we'll be good to go. Every week we make time to visit with Melanie Sloan, the Executive Director of Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. There's never any shortage of work for her and her organization. And she joins us from sunny San Francisco today. Hello, Melanie.
Hi, Peter.
Great to have you with us. And you brought the good weather because it's been raining nonstop, like 34 of the last 36 days. And we have 350% of our annual rainfall. So thank you.
You know, I've heard that. And, you know, politicians think of me the same way. It's just Mary Sunshine.
I'll bet they do. And maybe you don't care to say, but I know you're working on some details of the investigation of John Doolittle, who is a Republican member of Congress from California. He covers a district that runs north from Sacramento all the way to the Oregon border. And in previous episodes, we have described his relationship with lobbyist Jack Abramoff, who is now a double guilty plea guy waiting to be sentenced. And, well, at least in the second probe, he's waiting for his sentence. And there's some new developments in the Doolittle case. Tell us about him.
Yes. Mr. Doolittle has long denied that he was the target of any Justice Department investigation. Now, I'll tell you, the first thing to know about that is there's no way for John Doolittle to know, actually, if he's the target of a Department of Justice investigation. Just because the Department of Justice doesn't tell you you're a target of a Justice Department investigation does not mean you are not a target. They're under no obligation to tell you. So whenever Doolittle says he hasn't been notified that he's a target, everybody should just know that's a meaningless statement.
Okay.
Okay, but beyond that, what did come out is in his latest FEC filing, his filing with the Federal Election Commission, he listed a $10,000 payment for the legal services of a Virginia law firm called Williams Mullen. And it so happens that $10,000 is about the amount you might put down as a retainer for a law firm. Mm-hmm. And when asked, it turns out that Doolittle hired a guy at the law firm named Donald Barger. Barger is a criminal lawyer. And he used to be an associate of Special Prosecutor Kenneth Starr in the Whitewater investigation. So he, in fact, is a specialist in grand jury investigations for public corruption. So it does appear that Mr. Doolittle is a little more concerned than he has previously let on about his association with Jack Abramoff, and he is, in fact, now consulting with legal counsel.
And perhaps there's no way of knowing this so far, but is the counsel retained by a political committee, by Mr. Doolittle individually, or by John and Julie Doolittle, because his wife Julie is implicated in some respects? She did some work for Abramoff, and also we learned about the unique commission structure where donations to the campaign and a political action committee run by Mr. Doolittle were commissionable to his wife.
Yes, and I want to talk a little about that tonight, too. But right now what we know is that his reelection campaign is what paid the $10,000 in legal services. And, you know, we've talked about this a little before. Also, it is not unusual for members to use their campaign committee funds to spend money on their legal services. Duke Cunningham paid his legal services out of it, and so has Tom DeLay.
Mm-hmm.
So turning, though, to the great topic of Julie Doolittle, it also turns out in these FEC filings that we learned that so far in the 2005-2006 election cycle, Julie Doolittle's fundraising firm, Sierra Dominion, has collected $82,127 from the Doolittle committees. That is the amount of money that the Doolittles, therefore, are personally benefiting from the campaign donations. So when people think they're making campaign contributions to Mr. Doolittle, 15 cents of every dollar is going to the Doolittles personally, and that has amounted to $82,127 so far this cycle, that is ahead of the $77,947 they took in commissions in the 2003-2004 cycles, even with 9 months to go until the election. So Mr. Doolittle is increasing his salary greatly by skimming 15% off all campaign contributions for his personal use.
Pull the verb I was about to use, skimming.
Yeah.
Now, how is this different from somebody who skims money before they report yesterday on their income tax, or somebody who runs a mom-and-pop grocery store and only rings up, say, every fourth or fifth sale, and the rest of the cash just goes into the drawer without being recorded? That's skimming.
Because, astonishingly, the Federal Election Commission, an entirely toothless organization, has previously said that such behavior is okay, that because it is not John Doolittle personally who is taking the 15% as his own fundraiser, he has hired his wife to be his fundraiser, and she is entitled to take market rate for fundraising, which is, and 15% is a market rate, so the 15% she's taking is perfectly legal.
Okay.
It doesn't make it okay or ethical in my book, but it does mean they're not going to probably be prosecuted for it.
Interesting. Anything else involving the Doolittles that has developed recently?
I think that's enough for today.
Okay. I will just disclose that a friend of mine, Lisa Ray, is a Democrat who is challenging. She's running in the primary for the right to challenge Mr. Doolittle in the fall. And I wish her well. I don't have any direct connection to the campaign, and I don't have a conflict of interest, but I just thought I'd mention it so that people understand if they sense that I have a greater than average interest in the Doolittle case. Now let's talk about a Democrat, Alan Mollahan, Democrat from West Virginia. I read a fascinating and lengthy article in the New York Times about 10 days ago about this man, and he has benefited from the earmark process, and if people aren't familiar with it, an earmark is kind of a secretive deal where a powerful member can go in and essentially steer money directly out of our taxpayer coffers to different destinations in their district. And some of it goes for good causes. Some of it's to build bridges or parks or things that do have a public benefit. But what we see in the Mollahan case is that he has very effectively used the earmark process to fund a group of nonprofits and community organizations in his district that are populated by cronies and that receive virtually all of their money from this earmark process.
That's right. And not only do they receive all their money from this earmark process, the people who then run those organizations then make significant campaign contributions to Mr. Mollahan. Mr. Mollahan has also been involved in real estate deals with some of these same people to whom he's giving the earmarks. And I think one of the things that first raised some concerns about Mr. Mollahan's ethics was the fact that basically in the year 2000, his assets were at about $565,000. By the year 2004, they had jumped to between $6 and $24 million.
Wow.
Which is, any stretch, a pretty hefty jump.
Yeah. I didn't know that piece of this, and that is stunning.
Yes, I think that's what first, it's a conservative organization that initially started looking at Mr. Mollahan, but I will say Mr. Mollahan is now under federal investigation for some of this, and, you know, when you see a jump like that, that's cause for concern.
LBJ level.
That's right. It also turns out that some of he failed to properly report on his financial disclosure form some of his real estate holdings, and these were holdings that he purchased in conjunction with some of the folks that he was giving money to in the earmarks. So Mr. Mollahan has some pretty serious ethics problems. He's under federal investigation, and the even bigger problem from my perspective, he's the leading Democrat on the House Ethics Committee, the ranking Democrat on the Ethics Committee.
Well, that makes him a role model.
Exactly. And in our view over at CREW, he should step down from serving as the ranking member of the Ethics Committee, at least temporarily, while the federal investigation, you know, undergoes its course. We'll withhold judgment on whether he's actually guilty of something, but I will say there's, you know, at least a lot of smoke there, and it's inappropriate of him to be the ranking member on ethics He's refused to step down, and unfortunately, so far, Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi is backing him and refusing to ask him to step down.
Well, that's disappointing. And, of course, we've talked earlier in many previous reports about the failure of both the Senate and House Ethics Committee to operate anywhere near within the framework of their jurisdiction over the last few years. There's essentially been a freeze at both of these committees. So as a practical matter, it may not make a big difference whether Malahan stays or goes, but I certainly agree with you on principle and perception that he should not continue in that post at a time when he's personally being investigated.
Right. It is just, you know, it allowed Dennis Hastert to already say that perhaps the reason the Ethics Committee isn't acting is because of Alan Mollingham's ethics problems. Now, frankly, that's ridiculous. The Ethics Committee wasn't acting long before Alan Mollingham's ethics problems came to light. But the fact is, it fuels the perception that there's corruption on both sides and that members of Congress simply don't want to take ethics seriously.
And when Crewe made this call for him to step down from ethics, Malahan, I imagine that, just about everybody in Washington closed ranks behind you.
You know what? We are, in fact, the only progressive group that has called for him to step down.
Wow. Well, that's an indictment of the whole system. And I, you know, I, because of my own partisan interests, I don't like to make statements that, you know, can be used against the party I'd like to see regain power. But I cannot avoid acknowledging that with people like Jefferson from Mississippi, Malahan from West Virginia, it gives traction to the Republican arguments that this is a bipartisan problem. And, of course, they tried to play that in the Abramoff period, and it didn't really fly. But I think we're going to be hearing that again, and unfortunately we have Democrats fueling that fire.
That's right. And just one thing is Mr. Jefferson is from Louisiana, but you're absolutely right. His ethics problems are very serious, and the Democrats have also failed to take those as seriously as they should. And the fact is, if they want to be taken seriously as the party that's against corruption and talk about the Republicans' culture of corruption, they need to recognize that perception is reality, and they have to treat the ethics issues of their own members just as seriously as they want to see the ethics issues of Republicans treated.
And my apologies to the fine people in Mississippi. Thank you very much, Melanie.
My pleasure.
We'll talk to you again next week. That's Melanie Sloan, Executive Director of CREW, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. They're on the web at citizensforethics.org. We're going to return to the Free Speech Zone next, so grab a line, Central Coast, 831-899-5792, or toll free from anywhere at 1-888-579-2540, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Pacific Grove Liquors is the one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wine, spirits, and beers at very reasonable prices. Whether you seek the ideal California or imported wine, quality distilled spirits like top shelf tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and premium vodkas, PG Liquors is your beverage outlet. Love beer? PG Liquors boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales and lagers, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand your wine, beer, and liquor store.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
I'm Chuck Mackley, owner of Executive Financial Services. I can get you up to 12% interest on your investment on first and second trust deeds secured by real property. Don't settle for 3 to 5% on your money. Call me today at 443-7277. Your investment will be protected by the equity in the property and title insurance. Put your hard-earned money to work. Call Executive Financial Services at 443-7277 and ask for Chuck Mackley.
KRXA 540 checks your traffic. It's 548 now on the clock, and we check in with Metro Diane.
Well, an injury accident in Prunedale. It's northbound 101 after Vera Canyon Road. Two vehicles involved in this. They both have now been moved over to the right-hand shoulder. So CHP is on scene working on clearing that out. Also down in King City, we have an accident 198 at Mustang Grade. It's a solo vehicle accident. So CHP en route to check out what's going on there. And check the Santa Cruz Mounts, both directions of Highway 17, stall and accident-free. This report is brought to you by McDonald's. McDonald's is taking snacking to a whole new level with the Snack Wrap. Premium chicken, jack cheese, fresh lettuce, and ranch sauce in a soft tortilla. Just $1.29 and only at McDonald's. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thanks, Diane. Take the rest of the day off. I guess she already has. Coming up right after 6, Barry Lynn and Culture Shocks on KRXA. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. We're in the home stretch here. I'm glad you're listening. You can always drop me an email, peter at peterbcollins.com. And if you think I'm some kind of left-wing nut, you can address it to loudmouth at peterbcollins.com. They all end up in the same place. And we've got Jake on the line from Arcata. Hello, Jake. Welcome.
Hey, Peter. How's it going?
Pretty good today. Thanks.
Hey, if I could, I'd like to read for your listeners what some of the generals are saying about Donald Rumsfeld.
Okay.
Well, first there's Army Major General Paul Eaton, who said Mr. Rumsfeld must step down. He's shown himself incompetent strategically, operationally, and tactically. He's put the Pentagon at the mercy of his Cold Warrior's view of the world and his unrealistic confidence in technology to replace manpower. Marine Lieutenant General Gregory Newbold said the consequence of the military's quiescence was that a fundamentally flawed plan was executed for an invented war. My sincere view is that the commitment of our forces to this fight was done with a casualness and swagger that are the special province of those who have never had to execute these missions like Donald Rumsfeld or bury the results.
Yeah.
And then, you know,
that,
another
that
one would
casualness
be
and swagger, I think those are particularly damning comments.
Yeah, Donald Rumsfeld is extremely arrogant. As we all remember, you know, when it came to the condolence letters to our fallen soldiers, he didn't bother to sign those personally. He had a machine do it for him. That's an arrogant man.
Yeah.
And the other one I just want to point out was what General John Riggs said. He said that everyone pretty much thinks Rumsfeld and his bunch around him should be cleared out. They only need the military advice when it satisfies their agenda. I think that's a mistake, and that's why I think he should resign. And it comes down to this, you know, Rumsfeld had an agenda when he went in. His agenda was, you know, transformational change inside the Pentagon. Of course, that really came down to putting more money into high-tech weapon systems, which people like Rumsfeld profited from personally. And we went into Iraq on the cheap. We didn't have enough troops. Shinseki said we need several hundred thousand. You know, he was chastised by Rumsfeld and Wolfowitz for telling the people the truth. And now we're paying the price for Rumsfeld and Wolfowitz, you know, and their stupid decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And it's long past time for Donald Rumsfeld to go. He needs to do the country a favor and resign.
Well, I fully agree. And, of course, we see the president really digging in on this one, or is he? Because we saw just a month ago he was hit from all sides, including a retired White House Chief of Staff Howard Baker, who said, you know, you ought to change some faces around here, bring in some new blood, and help change the subject from the failures of the Bush administration and the string of losses that started with Katrina, went through the Supreme Court process, and, of course, have compounded as they have tried to articulate this strategy for victory that nobody believes in. And so, you know, I do support this call. As I mentioned earlier, I do fear who they will find to replace him. And, you know, it's possible that the process will work in our favor, where it requires Bush to acknowledge that not only will he be changing personnel, but that policies must change at the same time. And, of course, Bush a month ago said that he didn't want any of these changes. Then Andrew Card resigned. And now the replacement chief of staff, Joshua Bolton, on Monday said, hey, if you're planning to leave, don't slow down. Here's the door. So there will be wholesale changes at the White House. Whether it extends to the cabinet, we'll have to wait and see.
Yep, I do understand that. And I just hope that everybody will contact their representatives and, you know, let it be known that we need someone at the Pentagon who's looking out for our best interest. And clearly that man is not Donald Rumsfeld.
Thank you very much, Jake.
Thanks, Peter.
This just into the Peter B. Collins Show. Pombo relents, finally agrees to debate McCloskey. McCloskey calls for honesty and integrity as ethical cloud hangs over Pombo. Well, this is a very interesting development. If you know what I'm talking about, Richard Pombo is about an eight-term Republican congressman, chairs the House Resources Committee, wants to kill the Endangered Species Act, permit drilling offshore, and a host of other anti-environment policies that he supports. He also gets great support from the industries that benefit from his attitudes, and huge amounts of PAC money have flowed into his campaign. And he's been resisting the idea of debating retired congressman and a stellar guy, Pete McCloskey. And now he has agreed to at least one May 15th in Tracy at the Williams Middle School gym, sponsored by the Tracy Press. And a candidate, Tom Bonino, I guess a third Republican in the race, I'm not aware of him, or wasn't till now, will participate. And it says here, this, of course, is a press release from the McCloskey campaign, so understand it's bias. McCloskey first publicly challenged Pombo to debate on January 23rd when he announced his candidacy. In response, Pombo's political consultant told the Lodi News Sentinel that Pombo would not debate McCloskey because McCloskey was stuck in the 1970s. McCloskey says he's right. When I was in Congress, Republicans stood for honesty, integrity, and fiscal conservatism. Mr. Pombo, like his friends Tom DeLay and Jack Abramoff, has brought shame to the Republican Party on all three issues. Well, that's shaping up to be a very interesting race. Thor joins us now from Monterey. Hello, Thor. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Yeah, good afternoon. I just wanted to kind of pick up where the conversation was when the show ended last night about the problem with illegal aliens.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea that you were proposing that, you know, we could increase wages to living wage levels and things like that.
For every American worker, yes.
Yeah, I really don't think that's going to solve the problem because businesses are still going to want to try, actually may make the problem worse because businesses are going to want to pay, you know, way minimal wages as much as they can. You know, in fact, you know, even below minimum wage, they want to pay, you know, I call it slave labor wages, which mm-hmm. they're potentially are paying a lot of the illegals and things like that. And so I really think, like some of the other callers were saying, is that they really need to penalize anybody that knowingly hires illegals, and they should have some.
Sure, I support that. We don't need any new laws to enforce the regulations that are already there. What we have to look at is the extent to which, under Republican rule, the enforcement teams, the enforcement divisions of what used to be the INS and used to be an independent department, but it's now all swallowed up in Homeland Security. And mm-hmm. I don't know specifically, I want to be honest, Thor, but I do believe that there have been substantial reductions in the enforcement of employer sanctions during the Bush administration. And I would fully support enforcement of the laws that are on the books today. But my larger point is that, you know, we're nibbling around the edges. We're dealing in a lot of rhetoric that is either hateful or feel good, depending on which position you take. And I don't think it's really going to get us very far. And I think we really do need to make some dramatic changes in our trade laws. And, you know, your point is well taken, that if every American earns a living wage, that's an incentive for the multinational operators to ship more jobs to India or other low-wage centers. And we need to address that.
I think they need to have tax disincentives for outsourcing. I think they really need to, as far as, like, the H-1B visas and all that, they need to really look to see if there's jobs that those are jobs Americans can be doing before they start bringing you know, people over here to do that.
I agree. And as part of this, and see, I'm talking about a comprehensive approach, and I recognize that it's not realistic in the current political climate. But, you know, I just feel that the proposals that are out there are political in nature and don't really address the underlying problems. And so the answer I gave when I posed myself as emperor for a day mm-hmm. was obviously idealistic in its notions. But I think we do need to take a look at our trade laws, at our posture toward the American worker. We need to rescue the manufacturing base before it is further reduced. And Detroit, you know, is the focus where I would look. If we had national health care, it would take a huge burden off the automakers, and they wouldn't have to be buying out the entire GM workforce and forcing them to retire so that a new wave of people can come in and enjoy lower wages and zero benefits. That's not the America that I want for our future, that I want for our children. And so I think we do need to look at dramatic and wholesale changes. And that's what I was addressing yesterday. Thor, I'm out of time, but I appreciate your call. Always good to have you listening. We're going to do this again tomorrow, and you're invited to join me.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails.
We're going.
Tom Hartman.
Chairman of Citicorp, Sanford Weill, he says, I think companies are realizing that we all have to be salesmen for America and not just sit back and rely on the government. I would point out to Mr. Weill, chairman of Citigroup, that his company is sending American jobs to other countries.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
Isn't this a great thing? We can use Indian labor for white-collar jobs while we're using Chinese labor for blue-collar jobs. I'm sorry, this just creeps me out.
Tom Hartman on KRXA 540.
Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is hands down the finest Volvo maintenance and repair shop in Monterey County. Owners Mike Brooks and Tracy Polacco are both factory trained in Volvo service and repair. They provide outstanding quality and great service at reasonable prices. They only work on Volvos, so you know that your Volvo will be in caring and skilled hands. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside, or you can call Mike and Tracy at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Harley Carnes. The gas pump has already reached the pain threshold for many people.
It's really hard to make ends meet when these gas prices are really going up this high.
The impact is being pumped through the economy. Airlines have already raised prices, and trucking companies are adding surcharges.
I was spending $100 every 2 weeks on gas. I'm spending $200, so it means something else had to give.
How long are we going to have to put up with this?
I would say that you're not going to see any relief for quite some time. I think it's going to be a very expensive summer.
Just how expensive? Well, $100 a barrel oil is only a worst-case scenario. But analysts say for now, we'd better get used to $3 a gallon gas.
CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason. Oil prices today hit and closed at a record high, $71.35 a barrel, an increase of 95 cents. On Wall Street, the Dow jumped 195 points to close at nearly 11,269. The Nasdaq gained about 45. Seems everything's going up. Check your bank statement lately. Price of money's up. Bouncing checks cost more. Even getting your hands on your own money can cost more.
Bankrate.com says ATM surcharges have increased more than 20% in just the past 2 years. The average surcharge for using an ATM belonging to a bank other than your own, $1.60. 98% of banks now charge non-account holders to use their machines.
CBS News correspondent Cammie McCormick. Indictments today, the official charges against two lacrosse players at Duke University for alleged rape. CBS News correspondent Trish Regan.
Sources have told me that defense attorneys for Seligman will be presenting some evidence that proves he was not actually in the house at the time the alleged rape occurred. Some of this evidence will include cell phone records, also taxi cab receipts and dispatch logs from the taxi cab company, as well as an ATM transaction.
How about some excellent news for minority-owned business people?
The number of black-owned businesses are 1.2 million as of 2002, and that's a large increase of 45% from 1997, and the receipts are up 25% to nearly $89 billion.
Lee Wentilla at the U.S. Census Bureau on the best cities for black-owned businesses?
New York City, by a wide margin, followed by Chicago, Los Angeles, Houston, and Detroit.
100 years ago today, an earthquake.